The news this week is full of trends, new releases this year, continued cuts in industry shrinking.
Ooh.
The strike goes on, but we commit to opportunity.
A win for the actors.
And also returning the spotlight to Warner Brothers continuing to kill the opportunity to make money and continuing to fail to launch. It's a mixed bag, but at least it's news. Don't believe everything you read, especially not after this show. The April Fools will come out attempting to make fools of us all. This is the last gasp of March. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to tell you more about this week's gaming news. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live once again tonight, episode number 1040 for March the 30th of 2025. So, yes, as Jason pointed out in the intro there, be wary of April Fool's jokes coming up this week, but none on tonight's show. We're in the clear for that, but I think we all know little pranksters love to prank and come out with fake news things on April 1st, which I legitimately think is why Nintendo is doing a direct on April 2nd, just to steer the boat clear of any of that shenanigans.
That's also why Behavior's doing their announcements on the 2nd as well.
Well, hello, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
And yes, so not the only company doing announcements on April 2nd, purposely steering clear of the 1st. Yeah, makes sense.
And which is wise.
Yes.
But, is that like not even a real holiday? Knock it off, people.
Is April 2nd when they're going to patch in that manga killer they announced recently?
They're doing a live, and then it's typically right after they do those, the live, actual thing goes live.
Gotcha. Okay, interesting. Also say hello to the one and only Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, how are you, Loki?
Pretty good.
What's this game you've got going on behind you tonight? It looks like, I thought it was Among Us, like in 3D or something at first, like a spinoff, but what I know that doesn't exist, but it's just what it looks like. What is this?
This is Repo. It's a new game that's kind of like,
everyone's other playing that.
Yes, yeah, it's the new Hollis
right
now.
Oh, yes, I have seen a lot of streamers. I feel like I've been out of the loop on Twitch culture a little bit. I mean, outside this show, like I've barely watched my favorite streamers. It's nothing's wrong. It's just I've been oddly busy IRL, which I'm not going to complain about. But yeah, so I just haven't seen. But I get the notifications and I'm always like, what is this REPO game everybody's freaking streaming?
Yeah,
right now?
It's like Lethal Company in the sense that you're going to a place, there's like monsters that you have to avoid and you have to bring back loot and stuff and try not to die and all that thing. So it's like that, but it's funnier.
Yeah. We do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right after the Bobby Blackwell show. And we do have folks in our chat. Thank you, Tiger Claw, linked us to buy that on the store. We need to get like some type of like VOG Network kickback key for those links one of these days. I actually don't think those exist on Steam. But anyway, Questbuster says, I still miss the old IREM April Fool's jokes. Oh, yes. There are some companies do have cute April Fool's thing. You just have to be in the right mindset for it, right? Like, I love stuff that's so over the top and ridiculous that, like, it's obvious it's an April Fool's thing. And Blizzard used to do a lot of those, to be fair. I don't remember what they've done the last couple of years, and it's probably been toned down ever since they were, you know, in the spotlight for, you know, hella legit reasons. But they used to do some pretty over the top stuff that was a lot of fun. So I'll be curious if Blizzard does anything this year. Let's see. Yes, and Dark Tetsuya says there is also the should be fake, but it's actually real news too. Oh yes, there's that too. Tiger Claw.
Well, don't worry, we'll get that April 2nd.
Yeah. Tiger Claw pointing out there have been April Fool's jokes that become actual products. Obviously, the first thing that comes to mind is Google's Maps Pokemon. Kinda was in a way Pokemon Go. Wasn't the mini fridge from Xbox? That was a April Fool's thing too, wasn't it?
I think it was a full-size fridge, and it was a joke, but also it was a thing that they sold.
Okay.
In limited quantities. It was just like, the joke would be that it's like being widely released, but they did release a few.
Okay.
Not a lot though. It was like kind of a contest thing.
Bobby Blackwolf says the ties I wear were the original Think Geek April Fool's gag that they turned real, the 8-bit tie. Do you know what piece of nerd paraphernalia I bought this week? I don't know if you heard about this whole thing at South by Southwest, but It was something. It was a shirt that Mark Zuckerberg wore that said basically it was like a Roman quote or something that was like trying to compare him to Caesar or something like that. Like basically saying, like, you know, kind of pronouncing what a great person he is in his own mind. But then the great thing was,
which Caesar, one of them got stabbed in the
back. I know, right? What was, now I'm going to, it's going to bug myself.
Hey too, Brute.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that one. Yeah. See, I'm never prepared to talk about these things, on air, which is why, I have to research, but okay. So what was it said? Out Caesar, out Neil. Either Caesar or nothing, but the shirt actually said out Zuck, out Neil. So it was either Zuck or nothing. Yeah. So that was the shirt that Mark Zuckerberg wore. So the CEO of Blue Sky, her name is Jay Graber, a couple days later came out on stage and wore a shirt that said Mundus sine Caesaribus, which means a world without Caesars.
Love it.
And so they actually sold replica shirts of that on Blue Sky's site, and they charged a little premium for it. They charged $40 for it, and it was $10 shipping. I bought, because the money is to go support Blue Sky, I bought one because I'm like, sure, I'll support Blue Sky. It's obviously that type of shade. I'm gonna throw money at that. That's great. And I wanted one, and I just thought that was some world class shade going on from Blue Sky. So hell yeah, I bought one of those shirts. So I'm looking forward to wearing it on the show.
I didn't even know they were there. I would have got one.
Yeah, it was announced on Blue Sky's official thing, and yeah, they only sold them for a limited time. But I wonder if they'll come back. Because apparently I heard they've made more money off of that fucking shirt than they have anything else. Like, you know, they sell like custom domains and stuff, and like these other ways they're like Blue Sky's trying to monetize without sort of inshittifying their site and getting away, you know, from the things that's working. So I wonder if Blue Sky is going to sell more clothes all of a sudden, like Blue Sky becomes a clothing line. But, you know,
well, the site will be worldwithoutcaesars.com.
I love it. So anyway, that wasn't an April Fool's joke. That was just good old fashioned shade. I wish I had that sound effect from RuPaul's Drag Race ready to go.
If I thought that it would go through, I only have it set up on my soundboard, but I do have the sound.
Perfect. All right. We have a very busy news week to get into, so we're going to jump in because this is a huge Nintendo time of year. So Loki's going to recap a somewhat surprise Nintendo Direct from this week for us. You know, I say surprise because we were only told 2 days beforehand. But if you believe rumors and scuttlebutt, one of the rumors out there was pegging that there was going to be a pre-Nintendo Switch 2 Direct this week. And we know that the big Nintendo Switch 2 unveil official, I mean, we had the little teaser, but we're going to get the official unveiling next week on the 2nd. So we'll get into some of that later. But first, we have the Nintendo Direct from this week, which was focusing on, I guess, the last hurrah for the original Nintendo Switch. Yeah, kind of.
Some
third parties will still support it for a while, but yeah.
And I think a lot of the stuff that they were showing off too is kind of similar to what we've seen with a few other of kind of end of life, start of a new generation type releases, where you'll have games coming out on multiple platforms, I think. Because they showed off one of the big reveals that they showed was more gameplay from Metroid Prime 4, and that it's going to be out this year. So you would imply that it's probably going to be a Switch 1 game. But also, I'm wondering if there's like a Switch 2 enhancements to go along with it that we'll find out, you know, on Tuesday here, or Wednesday, I guess. That would be the 2nd. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. Lots of things, a lot of smaller things as well. So starting off, we had Dragon Quest 1 and 2 HD Remake. Those are going to be coming out over here as well. So that's supposed to be coming out later this year. Also, we have a new detective game from Konami called No Sleep for Konamani Date. And it says, from AI, the Somnium Files. So many words in those titles. But that is coming out July 25th. Raido Remastered, The Mystery of the Soulless Army, is supposed to be a game that came out on the PlayStation 2 a long time ago, and now coming out on the Switch June 19th. Shadow Labyrinth, that weird game that was based off of the Amazon series for Pac-Man. That is going to be coming out July 18th.
Oh, yeah, that. Multi-platform. I remember that.
It's weird, but I kind of dig it. I kind of like it. So that'll be coming out July 18th. This is kind of surprising. Potapon from the PSP coming out on the Switch. So they're doing remasters of
Potapon. Boom, 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 boom,
Potapon 1
that game's
and 2.
Fun. Yeah, that's kind of that was a surprise. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So Potapon 1 and 2 replay, and that's coming out July 11th. Looks amazing.
Yeah.
Story of Seasons.
Can we talk about that for a minute? Because, like, how are we feeling about Sony's back catalog titles showing up on Switch?
It's a Namco title. Namco's the one releasing it.
I thought it was a Sony title.
I thought it was a Sony title as well, but Namco is the one that's going to be doing the release of this, I thought I saw Namco's name.
Well, it's certainly possible, like, a studio made it and Sony published it, and now maybe the rights came out or something, and now another studio is doing it. I don't know. That publishing stuff gets complicated. Yeah, Mike Def says it is a Sony title. So rights get weird.
Everything is weird.
Yeah, and you've seen games.
No, it is. It is Sony. It is a Sony title. Okay. Yeah, it's a Sony Interactive Entertainment, developed by Bandai Namco. It's kind of weird in that sense, but it is licensed, and it does have Sony as credited on there. Okay. So
I was going to say, those weird sorts of things that happened before, like throwing out there, like Illusion of Gaia and that series, Nintendo actually published, here, and even though it was a Enix game at the time, and anyway. Cool. It's still a Sony, a game that we all know from the Sony PSP, PS Vita sort of era coming out for Switch. I think it's great. I think it's going to get seen by a new crowd, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Then we have Story of Seasons Grand Bazaar, which is going to be coming to the Switch August 27th. And that was a series that was on the original DS. I remember that kind of, I think, a spinoff of Harvest Moon. And then, of course, like I mentioned, Metroid Prime 4 Beyond, that was a big thing that they showed off, showing off actual, gameplay and what's going to kind of look like, which it's a bit different looking, but I like the way it looks, and that is sometime in 2025 that's coming out.
I wonder if that's a holiday game or if it's going to be a Switch 2 release title. I feel like that's kind of the unknown factor there, the question mark. Are we going to get a version of that on Switch 2? Or are we going to see that game again next week that maybe is possibly a slight bit enhanced or just, in a Zelda Breath of the Wild kind of way, right? Which was a Wii U and Switch game. It's just we're now in this unique situation where the Switch 2 will play Switch games, which wasn't a factor with the Wii U and Switch type of thing. So it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, there's just a lot of interesting stuff that's going to be answered with next week's thing. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm at, is I'm kind of like, okay, but is it going to be on the Switch 2? Because I want the Switch 2 version of it. I mean, that's where my head is at with a lot of Switch games.
Of course you're going to want that.
Yeah.
Another game that they announced, Villains Cursed Cafe. I don't know if this is like a mobile game that's being ported to the Switch, but it's a cafe game with Disney villains, and you make them drink some potions.
Okay.
I wanted to read a quick comment from chat on Story of Seasons. Bobby Blackwolf does say that is the original Harvest Moon. The Harvest Moon today is not the same series as the original Harvest Moon. So Story of Seasons is for, the old school fans, I guess. So you were on the right line of thinking there, Loki.
Yeah. I remember, this is going back to when I sold games. So I remember selling those and had the, what's Harvest Moon? No. So this is cool looking. Witchbrook. It is an isometric pixel art RPG following, looks like someone going through a magical academy, and they have different co-op for up to four players. Looks very pretty. I really like the art style in it.
Now, this is a magical university game I can get behind.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Unlike, never mind.
Yep. Then we had The Eternal Life of Goldman. It's a hand-drawn platforming adventure game. Looked pretty cool looking. Let's see. This one I got very excited about because I am a big fan of this series, Gradius Origins.
Hell yes. This is going to be awesome.
So it's all of the Gradius games put together, I think, for the most part. I don't know if Gradius 5 was in there or not, but also a brand new game, Salamander 3.
That's so, what's extra what? Rad about this.
That is I didn't know about.
Yeah, I'm they're putting a new now. Game in it. Like, hell yes. And I wonder if it was like a prototype that got canceled or something. But that's, I'm so down for that. I wonder if there will be repeats from the, because Konami had an arcade collection that had a couple of older, I know this because I played it literally last night at a friend's house who had this like older arcade. It had like Scramble. It had a lot of old Konami shoot 'em ups, but there was, I think, Salamanders in there.
Got it.
Yeah.
We've got the Salamander Deluxe Pack for Saturn. We've got all kinds of collections because every time something comes out, we end up getting it.
Sure.
It says it comes with 17 versions, 6 titles from Arcade Origins.
Okay. So 6 titles. Okay. That overlap. That's it. Arcade Origins. So 6 titles overlap. But that's okay. So
Yeah. Gradius. It looks like Gradius 2, Gradius, Gradius 3, Salamander, Salamander 2, and Life Force.
This feels like the album being re-released with some really solid extra tracks. I'm fine with it. It's been long enough. Yeah.
Granted, the 17 games they're talking about too, that includes also all of the different versions of the ROMs. So you have the JP
We're doing some creative counting. Yeah. But that's and it should be this will almost certainly not be a Nintendo exclusive thing. This is just how a lot of people will probably pick it up because they have Nintendo memories from playing these games on the NES, or they want the portable versions. But I mean, 99.99% this is out on PlayStation 5, and I would say 98% this is out on Xbox. So
they also have different modes in there as well. So they have a rewind, so you can rewind it if you mess up. Easy mode
happens a lot with games
with a smaller hit detection area. And then they have invincible mode. It counts the number of times the enemies. Let's see here. I can't see because it's...
Like you're invincible, but it counts the number of times the enemies hit you.
Yeah.
So that you still have like a score to sort of achieve. Those games are very difficult. Okay, I don't want to spoil my gaming week, but I randomly fucking played Life Force on the NES this week. And I forgot how unforgiving that game is. You literally have to memorize things in the stage. Like that first stage with the brain boss, you have to remember like, oh, you got to take the top path because if you take the bottom path, it grows that kind of brain cell stuff or whatever it's supposed to be like right in front of you and you die. So like you have to remember how to go certain paths to get through levels. That's how those fucking arcade machines ate your quarters too. So no shame in using invincible mode in some of these games, like, or you'll never see the end of them.
Yeah.
The Konami code exists for a reason.
Yeah, that's true too. Sean 322 says, spoiler alert. Oh, give me for a game from 1987. Sit down.
Next game we had was Rift of the Necrodancer. It's a brand new rhythm game that looks actually a little bit more akin to like, what was it? Rock Band Blitz. There's basically three series.
Crypt of the Necrodancer, but this Rift was. is gonna be different. Yeah.
Yeah, so the Crypt of the Necrodancer was more of like an actual dungeon crawling game where you had to move to the beat. This is an actual rhythm game. But you're still also attacking enemies and stuff. There's like three different lanes and you kind of have to jump between those or hit the different buttons to do different attacks and stuff.
Real talk, folks. If Harmonix wasn't going to make a new Rock Band Blitz for consoles, I'm glad somebody did it.
it looks legally distinct. Great.
Yeah.
So we have that. And then Tamagotchi Plaza. Looks crazy with all the different Miis in there.
Sure.
So that's a thing coming June 27th. And then what else? We got more footage of Pokemon Legends Z to A. And yeah, it looks good.
Zah!
The game I really hope has a Switch 2 enhanced version, especially after. And I'm going to be completely honest. I did not watch the Direct live because, look, some time zone is going to get screwed in this whole thing. When you're doing these worldwide announcements, some time zone's going to get screwed. And we get screwed with a 6 a.m. start time for this. Like, East Coast can have a nice little breakfast thing. What, Europe is what, 2 o'clock? Japan is 10 o'clock? That's like the evening news, right? We get 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. The only time zone I would say that has it worse than us is Hawaii. Hawaii's like 3 or 4 in the morning. They're just not going to be watching this unless they get up early. So I don't really watch these things live when they're that early because I value my sleep. But I did watch the Zeta A and I was like, oh, I hope they get a more powerful system to put this on. It's going to be a lot of the same problems from Gen 10 are going to show up.
It's
got to
be like.
It's gotta be. Oh my god! Please, please, Game Freak, please hear my prayers.
Why would you, like? Yeah, why would you make like a brand new console and then just like, oh yeah, it can't. It's not gonna be on that brand new console. It's gonna be stuck with the lower powered one. Come on, yeah. Like it's a Pokemon game. Of course they're going to. So anyway. We'll see.
Right, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Another neat surprise, Rhythm Heaven Groove, brand new Rhythm Heaven game coming to the Switch as well.
Do you know what my TikTok algorithm has found? People live reacting to the Rhythm Heaven announcement and losing their fucking mind. And the funny thing is, what always gives it away is that very distinct advancing the text box noise that the Rhythm Heaven games have. Like, everybody's kind of looking at it at first like, is this? Could it be? And then the text advances. Everybody goes, oh my God, it's Rhythm Heaven. Ah! You know, the way everybody acts online during these live react things. And it's pretty funny. So but yeah, no, I'm excited too.
So then breaking up all the game announcements and different things releasing, there was an announcement of a brand new system that is coming to Nintendo. And that is this virtual game card system. And what it is a way to be able to trade and loan out your digital game library to other Switches or Switch 2s. So, yeah. For example, well, like if you have live in a household.
There's a very important asterisk here because I was excited until this asterisk. I was like, well, this does nothing for me. Bobby took a deep dive on this on his show tonight. The asterisk.
Especially locally.
No, they have to be on your family plan and locally. So you can only share with people on your family plan. Yeah, it works.
Because I'm on a family plan with friends.
Yeah, it's so that no, that works. If you're on a family plan with friends and you go visit those friends in person, you can loan the games. That's great. But like for me, I'm not on a family plan. And even if Alan and I were on a family plan, it wouldn't do us a lot of good. I was hoping it was without the asterisk that you just had to be on the same local network, which I'm totally okay with because loaning games across the internet would lead to all sorts of weird Reddit circles and things and it would hurt game developers. But like locally, like, oh my God, that would add so much value to digital games. To be able to be like, hey, so we're getting together in person to play Mario Party. And oh, shit, you have Balatro. Can I borrow that? Like, and you just click. You just do it digitally. And you can't play it for 14 days, but they can. It's like loaning out a cartridge. But you know that cartridge is coming back in 14 days. And if that's not enough time, you do it again. Although I don't think we know the cooldown period. But unfortunately, it is limited to family plans. Which my hope, fingers crossed, toes crossed, eyes crossed. My hope is that. This is maybe the test for maybe making it broader. And I'm even okay if they limit it to people on your Nintendo friends list so that you can't just like go to a random convention and load out games for your booth or something. You have to be your friends list.
I think it's both though. I think you can lend it to people that are in your vicinity, but also your family group members as well, because it's two different. They show that in the video, there's two separate things where they're saying, here's how you loan it out. Someone has to be in the physically in the same room with you. And then it's all lending to your family. It's all also you can lend to your family group members. So I don't know if it's.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know. Yeah.
If you have two systems. Okay. Here's what it says on the Nintendo.com website. So I'm going to the source to figure this out. It says the virtual game card feature for Nintendo Switch and Nintendo Switch 2 systems adds some of the flexibility. If you have two systems. You can digitally eject and load games from one system to another. And you can even lend games to members of your Nintendo account family group. This is the wording that worries me. If you have two systems, that doesn't mean you and somebody, if you have a system and your friend has a system, or that would be worded differently. So this is like, because Nintendo has released a Switch, a Switch Lite, a Switch OLED, it is very, or you're Shane and you buy all the Pokemon Switches. This is a Shane feature. That's who's going to benefit from this with his 17 Switches and Pokemon games. You can loan the games amongst yourself, but it doesn't do anything with friends or anything like that, which is kind of a bummer. Yeah. And then lend games to members of your Nintendo account family group. Nothing to do with the other part about having the multiple systems. So yeah, Loki, I'm right there with you though. The wording was, or at least the way I understood it, because again, I didn't watch it live. The way I understood it at first was like really exciting. I was like, holy shit, Nintendo ahead of its time. Pew, 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 pew. Like this whole thing, right? And then when I saw the rest of it, I was like, oh. Not as exciting, except, and to be fair, Bobby Blackwolf in chat says Nintendo thinks people will have a Switch and a Switch 2. Of course they will. I will have a Switch and a Switch 2. So that will be useful. I can get the digital loaning from my original Switch so I can play things like Pokemon Scarlet, which I bought digitally, on my Switch 2. So yes, there is still some benefit for me. And maybe this is what it is, because my thought was, well, why wouldn't it just be like the fucking PlayStation where I go in the store and I download the game just like I did on PlayStation, but it maybe it's some funky thing with rights. I don't know, but at least I have a way to get my digital library on my Switch 2 done. But I really hope this family lending thing turns into something bigger. It could be so cool. Like, oh my gosh, especially with more people buying digital games, tariffs putting a weird question mark on physical games. This could be so big. Anyway, sorry, I don't mean to derail too much, but it is a weird enigma thing. Maybe we'll hear more about it next week. But yeah, it's not as exciting as it could have been.
No, understandable. Yeah, it's a little confusing.
But it's exciting.
Phrase it.
Like if you are two parents and two kids, if you're a two parent, two kid household type of thing, oh my God, this is huge for you. Fuck, even if you're just a two adult household that both actively game, like a Jamie and Dan household that both actively game. Yeah, you can like lend games between each other. But like Loki, for you, you have a Switch. I imagine your kids have a Switch. You can all loan games to each other. Oh, you only have one. Well, there'll be a Switch too at some point, I'm sure. So you know,
I honestly didn't pay for my Switch. I won it at work.
It doesn't matter. It's yours.
Yeah, but it means I mean, there's no logical reason for us to have more than one in this house.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. So
I mean, we're probably gonna get a Switch too, but we didn't get a PS5 or an Xbox. You know, we kind of were just like done with it.
I already know I'm
the
getting
whole
a Switch
thing. Kind of done with it.
I'll get a Switch 2 day one, as provided the pre-orders allow me to. That is my biggest scare right now, is that it's going to be a cluster fucky McFuckerson town trying to get one of those Switch 2 pre-orders.
I'll be honest, I'm probably going to get a Stream Deck before I get a Switch 2.
A Stream Deck or a Steam Deck?
Steam Deck, whatever. I've got a bajillion Stream Decks already. a Steam Deck.
Yes, Steam Decks are fun.
I mean, because it's going to have a bigger library on it. It's still handheld. Mm-hmm. I can still plug it into my TV.
And I already have one.
I'm not
so
super excited about the Switch 2.
Well,
I won't be excited until there's a game on it I give a shit about.
Well, let's check in after April 2nd, because that'll be Nintendo's chance to say, here are the games to substantiate your hype. So we'll see. We'll see. Let's check back in next week. So. All right. Anyway, sorry, yeah. Loki, but that was
Steam
an important
point. Steam Deck is Linux.
That was an important point.
And then, there are a bunch of smaller announcements. So High on Life is getting ported to the Switch on May 6th.
That's the Rick and Morty gun game, right?
Yes, yeah. Basically. Star Overdrive is another cool-looking game that's coming out on April 10th. Kind of a, like, a... I don't almost has like a similar art style to like Sunset Overdrive or what was the other one? I don't know, but it's like it's like futuristic hoverboarding action looking game, so that's kind of neat. Let's see. We also had The Wandering Village, which it's like a alien settlement management game that's coming out July 17th. Fantasy Life, The Girl Who Steals Time. Really cute looking game.
Yeah, that original Fantasy Life was so fucking fun. Like, I'm pretty hyped for this.
Yeah, so that's coming out May 21st.
Clear my calendar. That's right around Memorial Day again.
Saga Frontier 2 Remastered. Gorgeous looking game. That was one of those, hey, it's out today. So it's out now. Go check it out.
I have to just, y'all know I did not care for the original Saga Frontier, but maybe I'd like to. I don't know. There's so much to play. So
Monument Valley 1 and 2, and apparently 3 now, are gonna be released on the Switch. I guess it says it's going to include all of the DLC on April 15th. And then it says the third game was released in December on Android. I didn't even realize there was a third game, but they're all coming to the Switch now this summer. Another Sony game coming to the Switch, Everybody's Golf, otherwise known as Hot Shots. It's actually called Everybody's Golf Hot Shots because it is Hot Shots Golf here.
Resident Evil Biohazard. This year.
Yes, exactly. And that's then one of the games that I'm most excited about, a brand new game, beat 'em up fighting game called Marvel Cosmic Invasion. It's by the folks that did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game originally. So it's like kind of a throwback to the old arcade stuff.
That's going to be fun.
Very excited to play that. So that's.
I wonder if that's going to be like those Marvel Ultimate games. I remember Jamie was super into those games.
No, it's not. It's just a pure side scroller beat 'em up.
Well, that'll still be fun. That'll be like the X-Men
side-scroller.
It'll
be like the Avengers game or the X-Men game that was in arcades.
That'll still be fun.
With a much larger cast, it seems.
And then the final thing...
Is it going to be as big as that fucking Avenger Doomsday cast they announced this week? Because Jesus.
Oh, God. I didn't even look.
Oh, did... Okay. All you need to know, Alan Cumming is coming back as Nightcrawler. All you need to know. Yeah, because what made me laugh is that, like, Tiger Claw was trying to post the entire cast list for the movie. And because we have some type of official Discord, I don't know, we have to, in order to have some status we have in Discord, we have to have some mod filter on. And the mod filter rejected Tiger Claw's post like 3 times. And I'm sure he couldn't figure out, like, I'm not swearing in this. Like, what is rejecting this post? It's because he was trying to put the word coming. Because Alan Cumming is coming back as Nightcrawler.
I have to rethink my entire life choices now.
I know, right? It's so just, I just, can we, I realize this is outside video games, but I just need us all to take a minute to appreciate Alan Cumming. Can we all take a minute to appreciate Alan Cumming? Because like Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion, hello, one of the best. The Traitors, which literally, if you're going to watch any reality TV show made in the last 10 years, you should watch The Traitors. It's fucking incredible television. And 99% of that is because of Alan Cumming. There is a reason somebody finally dethroned RuPaul as best game show host. And that was Alan Cumming. Oh, he is incredible on that show.
Okay, I stopped to look over the cast. And I mean, I knew about Downey being Dr. Doom, but still.
Oh, yeah.
This is actually pretty. It's. Okay, I'm officially happy. I'm officially happy.
Yeah, it just goes on and on. It led to this whole meme as like, so-and-so is coming back as da-da-da. And I thought, I don't think people got the joke. I tried to put princess ?? From the Never-Ending Story is coming back. But people thought I actually didn't know her name. And I was like, it's because none of us knew what the fuck the kid was shouting. But forget it. Forget it. Anyway, all right, Marvel beat him up. Anyway,
yes. Anyways, a couple more things.
I'm sorry. No, Loki, because chat comments derailed me yet again. Bobby Blackwolf in chat put, "Everyone is here. I need to see. Here's the meme I need. I need to see the Marvel Doomsday cast right there, and then I need that Sakurai meme where he says, 'Never ask me for anything ever again.'" All right. Anyway, sorry, Loki. I mean it this time.
Okay. So we had a couple more things that were announced. So one of those, of course, was Tomodachi Life, Living the Dream. This is the game I was thinking about when we were talking about the Tomodachi thing before. So this one's the weird Mii game that's coming out next year, which probably is a Switch.
Do you remember this on the DS?
It was weird.
It was a little bit controversial because you couldn't have a same-sex relationship in the game. It got a lot of controversy for that, and I think, you know, some of us were like, well, fuck that game then. But it kind of became a little bit of an underground classic, and a lot of memes were made out of that game. Like, I just remember – now I have to find it. I have to find it. It's too good. There are these YouTubes of, like the characters singing. You can make your characters sing with all these, like, original lyrics and things like that. Which is great. And in fact, even the trailer kind of had like one of those memes with the big face that was like, do you want to talk? Mm-hmm. Like that whole time. That was really funny. I think that game is really supposed to be like the meme game. But this is the meme I was thinking of, is that it's this and you're gonna hear a little bit of audio that comes through this game, and it's I Don't Know Her, and it's Mariah Carey and Nicki Minaj singing. I don't know her. Anyway, trust me, it's funny. It's funny. Ha! Look up the video. You'll laugh. You'll chuckle. You'll lightly tee-hee. So yes, we're getting Meme Generator 2.0.
Yes, and then the last piece of news was that they were going to be launching another app called Nintendo Today, which keeps you up to date with all the Nintendo news, including a big bombshell that they dropped in that, but we'll talk about that later.
Yes, so, well, but it also shows that this is Nintendo's attempt. It's an interesting way to take the Nintendo Direct concept one step further. What if Nintendo, instead of waiting for that direct, could send you a push notification to tell you the news? It's, you know, for as much shit as Nintendo gets for not being very clue-filled when it comes to being online, and rightfully so, this does seem like a very forward-thinking type of thing if they can compel people to install that app, which I'm not sure the calendar... Well, actually, no, the calendar thing is kind of cute because you can turn those into widgets, at least on Apple. And I'm assuming Google's the same thing. So on Apple, you know how Apple has like the widgets on the screen and stuff? You can actually have like a Nintendo branded widget that you can like have your calendar with that. And that's going to be cute for some people. Like if you don't really care about branded stuff or like seeing, you know, Animal Crossing characters all over your phone, then whatever, you're probably not going to care. But it's a little something to like make a little widget for your home screen and, you know, now get some of these announcements and things pushed to you, which Nintendo utilized the day after they announced this to get people to install it on their phones so people could be like, oh shit, Nintendo's going to drop bombshells with this thing. So I'm very curious to see what happens after next week with the Switch 2 announcements and what sort of things get pushed out in that app. So, I mean, it's free. I had no problem installing Nintendo Today. Your phone, your business, install what you want, but free is a great price. Free 99.
Yep.
By the way, the Tomodachi Life announcement, also a big TikTok meme. People losing their fucking mind over that game, which I did not realize that game. But I feel like the people I'm seeing losing their mind are all of a certain age where they were like probably like 11, 12 years old when that game first came out. And so this is like a huge deal, you know, because I'm sure that game was all around schools and, you know, people trading shit posts and memes that they made in that application and all that. By the way, I made an offhanded comment before the show. So when you listen to us live at VOG Network, which I encourage you to do on Sunday nights, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, when you're waiting for our show to begin. So Bobby Blackwolf show ends and then we do what's called the cat roll. Okay. And the reason why we do that is that we run 2 minutes worth of ads but we don't want to start the show during the ads. So we and we do that to drop the pre-roll so people can jump right into our show at the beginning without Twitch forcing ads on you. Trust me, there's reasons for all this. So we have what's called the cat roll, which shows all of our different cats. And I think we've been open to adding other pets to it too, but for right now it's only cats. And it's, you know, current and past, you know, because Mr. Smush is in it, you know, and Minna and Shermie's in it. And there might even be a Sanrio picture. So we have all the cats. But there's one picture in there that's like Dark Soccer is me, like falling asleep on the cat. And that's either the native 3D photo thing or that's from the original Tomodachi Life.
That is from – that actually has nothing to do with it. That's from – God, what was that me thing on iPhone?
Oh, Miitopia. Oh.
I forgot all about that.
Oh, shit. Okay, Pwned. All right, never mind. I thought it was a Tomodachi Life thing.
I've never played Tomodachi Life.
Well. Oh, well. All right, so that's what that was. Well, I'm hoping this one will be good. And as far as the relationships thing goes, it's, you know, in 2025, we've made some fucking progress in that department. So Nintendo doesn't fuck that up and make it a controversy in 2025 because love has no boundaries. And I think most decent people know that now in 2025. If you haven't figured that out, I don't know how to explain it to you any further. So we'll see what happens with this game. Hopefully it's going to be a lot of fun. But the preview is really funny. Did you notice in the preview, like it comes up, it shows the beach and everybody goes, Animal Crossing, but it's not. And then the next shot is a me sleeping on the chair. And you might miss this the first time you watch the trailer. If you missed it, go back and watch because right before it fades into the next scene, the me that's asleep in the chair makes a little sound, a little poot sound, and a little cloud comes out of their butt. It's so silly, but it's hilarious. But that's like your first clue that this is Tomodachi Life. Anyway, all right.
I'll give it a try.
All right. Let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of games. Yeah, Mike Defton chat says, yeah, the beach scene threw me for a loop. Thought it was Animal Crossing. I mean, reasonable guess, reasonable expectations. I feel like that is going to be a sure thing for Switch 2, whether now or next year, like Animal Crossing is going to happen. But yeah, the fart got me like, what? Yeah, it's funny. Anyway, all right. Farting or not, let's talk about our gaming weeks, the types of games we have been playing this week. Dark Sakura, how was your pooting week?
Dear Lord, I've had a very busy week. But I have played a lot of Balatro, just, you know, it's like my fill in the time stuff, you know. I've been playing my Fruit Mountain game again and finally broke. I had been stuck at, like, the most I'd gotten was, like, around the 4,000 point range, and I broke 7,000 points, and the next best I was able to get is over 5,000. So I'm getting a little bit better at it. I also, of course, played Dead by Daylight. I've played Palia. I've played some Dragon Age, the Veilguard. I've played Monster Hunter Wilds, which I really like the game, but it makes me motion sick, and I still hate the controls. I'm getting better at it, though. I'm getting better at it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I kind of want to do something different, and I'm still debating my retro night if I'm going to do Wonder Project J or Marvelous. So suggestions would be nice. But other than that, yeah.
All right, cool. Let's go to Loki.
There's a lot of World Cup today.
Hey.
World Cup soccer.
No problem with
my pinball.
No problem with pinball. Loki, how was your game of week?
It's pretty much just Minecraft as usual. We had a lot of work that I've been doing on like episodes, so I put out fourth week in a row now. Don't know how long that's going to continue on, and then still have working on Storage Room, which is going to be the next episode, and Balatro. Played a little bit of Balatro as well. Still trying to get all the chips in one of the specific card sets just to be able to get up to that point. But it's been tricky. It gets hard. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Nice. Watch people play Repo. But that was, you know, I haven't played Repo. I have Repo, but I just haven't played it yet. Looks fun.
Yeah, I gotta check that out myself. Let's see, my gaming week, mostly Final Fantasy 14, as they had a patch this week. I had some story to catch up on. I haven't gotten around to the new dungeon or trial yet, so it's hard for me to say a lot about this patch, but it's kind of motivating me to make progress in the game so I can get there. And just, you know, doing the tome grinding because there's a whole new set of gear to get and all that stuff. And then let's see, what else have I been playing this week? Mostly retro stuff or throwbacks. I played Luminous yesterday. God, that is such, that really is just one of the.
We were talking about that on my stream the other day.
I was just, that is what I must, I'm inside your mind. One of the best puzzle games ever. There's a reason why they let him do Tetris, him being Mizuguchi. Luminous is just so good. So yeah, I was playing like the Switch version, or, you know, the re-release of the original on the Switch a couple years ago. It was fun. And then just like random retro games. I've been, you know, going down a random retro rabbit hole. Was playing some of Super Mario World the other day. Why not? It's one of the best games ever made. Why wouldn't I play it? So I do need to get cracking on some more recent games, but when you have all the retro games to catch up on, you know, it doesn't matter when the game was made. A good game is a good game. I guess that's what it is. All right. Let's move on to some more stories for this week. Loki, we'll start with you.
Let's see if we get some more Switch 2 rumors in before they actually tell us all the things.
That's right. Last chance rumors.
See how good everyone is at guessing. So
I mean, last chance launch rumors, because there will always be rumors about the Switch 2 and what other things post like. But we're going to say last chance launch rumors.
Now, this is something that I would say that we floated as a possibility based off of the time frame from the original Switch launch, which they announced the Switch back in, I think, January, and then launched it in March. So now if they're doing like the official unveil in April, it, you know, could be reasonable to believe that maybe they're going to launch the system in June. And that is what a rumor is, apparently, that the game system will be launching within the first 6 months of the year. And according to Insider Gaming, they are planning on a June release with a multi-phase rollout that would see the release strategy around Switch 2 games shift from first party to third party as the year progresses, but basically launching with a lot more first party games first.
That's very similar to the original Switch's strategy. It was making sure that there was something coming out every month, even if it was third party, such as, like, I want to say Mario and Rabbids early on was like a flagship title, even though it was an Ubisoft game and not a Nintendo game. So again, there's a lot, you know, if you are to believe Nintendo's if it ain't broke, don't fix it method of launching this system, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm tempering my expectations with June. Of course, I hope it's June. June makes a lot of sense. It's right when the kiddos are getting out of school, or even the college kids are getting out of school. It is before the end of the fiscal year, so they can really bump the numbers. And they still would get a holiday to get through. So, like, a lot with June makes sense. But at the same time, I don't want to set June as an expectation. I want to be fully aware that Nintendo very well could come out and say, coming holiday 2025. And I think that's where you should put your expectation. And then that way, if they say June, yay, you're pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. Along with that, there's a rumor that there may be some hints that Switch 2 upgrades for older games might be a thing. According to some of the fine print that was out talking about the virtual card system, it says the Nintendo Switch exclusive games and Nintendo Switch 2 edition games can only be loaded in Nintendo Switch 2 systems. So Nintendo Switch 2 edition games and exclusive games. So it sounds like that you could have a version that, you know, there's multiple versions of said game, which makes sense, like Metroid Prime 4 or something like that. I could see almost with that too, with Metroid Prime 4, like if it's, you know, you buy the Switch version, you get the Switch 2 version for either free, or they give it to you for like $5 or something like that. Like they did with the PlayStation, and I think even like some of the Xbox stuff. But I know PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5 had that stuff.
I'm of a few mindsets about this. As long as they make the performance enhancements worth the price, I'm okay with an upgrade price if I already owned it on Switch. And I also fully realize this would leave room for, let's say, Metroid Prime 4 on the original Switch is going to be $59.99, which was the price of games on the PlayStation, you know, 4 a while ago, or 3, or even, you know, a while mm-hmm. ago in games. And then the edition on the Switch 2 is $69.99, which is more in line with the price of current games on other consoles. But
yeah,
maybe the performance enhancements will justify that bump. But what I don't want to see is that I have to rebuy, like, that $10 upgrade or whatever better be a thing. Because if I have to rebuy things like Pokemon Legends to get them to run better, I probably just won't. Like, and that's going to be really disappointing, because that's some of the thing that is anticipating me most about this system, is being able to play things like Pokemon Legends and especially Pokemon Scarlet Violet, which badly needed better hardware, on better hardware. So let's see. But also, I think something to keep in mind, this isn't necessarily limited to Nintendo's first party. I absolutely believe there will be third party games that will put out Nintendo Switch 2 editions of their games. Number one on the list, I would say Hello Games, No Man's Sky. Guarantee there's going to be a Switch 2 version of that game. Why the fuck wouldn't there be? It literally releases on every other system. You can expect there will be a No Man's Sky release on Switch 2. Now, the question is, will they charge you again for it, or will they give you a free upgrade? Just so you know, you got a free upgrade if you had it on PS4, and then you put that PS4 in the PS5. So that would be kind of the model I'd be expecting. But, you know, we'll see. I don't know how the Nintendo system will mess things up, but it'll hurt sales, I think, or I should say it's not going to inflate sales to make people buy that thing full price all over again. Another third-party game I would fully expect to see, Diablo 4, which I actually don't think had a release on the original Switch. I don't think Diablo 4 is on the Switch. So I think some of these launch titles are going to be filling out the plate of things that got skipped over on Nintendo because the system wasn't good enough. Diablo 4, Final Fantasy 14, Final Fantasy 15 and 16, while we're at it. I think there's going to be a lot of gap filling, but I just hope Nintendo isn't relying on that. It's not going to be enough to let those types of third-party games carry your system for forever. Maybe for a few months, but not for forever.
Yeah, because they need to be in the situation of the Wii U, essentially.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So they need to not do the Wii, like, re-releases of old ass games are not going to carry your system, but hell yeah, there's going to be people that will buy Diablo 4 when it's portable, or any of those games I named that you can play on Switch 2. So we'll see. Very exciting.
Yeah. Be interesting to see. I mean, we only got a couple more days to wait.
That's right. It's weird to think it's 7 days. We'll finally know when we're back. Actually, less than 7 days, but we'll be back here in 7 days when we finally know. Although maybe we need to do an emergency stream that night of the announcements to decompress all that stuff. We'll see. We'll see. All right. Well, earlier in the show, Loki had hinted at a new announcement bombshell that was dropped in the Nintendo Today app, and that was the release of the Legend of Zelda movie. That's right. It wasn't reported by Deadline, like a Hollywood industry thing. It wasn't reported by a video game blog. Nintendo decided to put that information out themselves. It was a very quick, I wouldn't even call it teaser trailer. I would call it logo, because that's all it was, like a logo display, and then the date. And the date of the Zelda movie is March 26th, 2027. So you have 2 years to wait. In 2 years, you will see a Zelda movie if you want to. Now, there are some more rumors that have kind of followed up since then on this movie. Number one, that it's going to be a trilogy, and that they are locking in the principal actors who have apparently already been cast. They are locking in the principal actors between, I think it's Link, Zelda, Impa, and like one other character, I think, are going to be locked in for a 6-year, 3-movie deal. So they're going to have to do all the movies. And that this film is going to start shooting in New Zealand this winter, which our winter is their summer. So if we talk about a November shooting, it'll be beautiful weather down in New Zealand. New Zealand, of course, being where they shot the Lord of the Rings movies, which were infamously well known for just how fucking gorgeous the scenery was. And I think this movie has the potential to be huge. I think locking them into a trilogy is a smart idea. I think this movie does stand to do very well, as long as the script doesn't suck. Oh, God, I hope the script doesn't suck. But the Mario movie was cool. It was fine. you know, any problem.
But this is a live action movie. I know. Instead of an anime.
I know.
Movie,
so there's so a like, there's a lot that could go wrong, but there's a lot that could go right. And it's interesting that there are these comparisons to Lord of the Rings, because honestly, and I'll probably get hazed for this comment, but I'm going to own it. I think this is like a millennial Lord of the Rings. I really do. Yeah. But by this time, by the time this movie actually hits theaters, think about it. Those of us, and I'm pointing at us, that, you know, maybe we're more Gen X, Zillennial, whatever, but like we're going to be pushing 50, if not in our 50s, by the time these movies finally hit theaters. And most, a lot of our friendos will be taking their kids. This will be a whole family thing, because it's like, you grew up with the modern Zelda games and I grew up with the old school Zelda games, and we're coming together to see the Zelda. Like, it's instead of growing up with the books, we all grew up with the games. And this is going to be like a huge moment in pop culture. I really do think, again, please don't be a shitty movie. Like, I don't know how else to put it. I'm really putting my faith in that the Mario movie shows that they can do good enough. But like, I don't want to get too wacky talking. This has the potential to be like an Oscar caliber type of movie if they don't fuck it up. It has the potential to be that good. Because it's going to mean that much to a lot of people that span the age spectrum. So this is going to be a huge thing for Hollywood. So I'll be very curious to see how they start to drip feed some of these other announcements off. Dijarama S in chat says, it would not surprise me if they have already started shooting, even though they said winter 2025 to throw people off. Maybe second unit type of stuff, especially if there are like maybe snow type scenes in it, because we don't really know what they're doing. But I don't think they will film anything until they announce the principles, because there will be leaks otherwise. And everybody wants control over this information. So yeah, I would say second, yeah, B-roll stuff, second unit. Maybe that stuff could already be being made. Sure. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility, but things with actual actors, probably not. let's see. Tiger Claw says the movies could be adapting the first three games. There's a lot it could be doing, and we don't know. And the Zelda timeline is very complicated. And quite honest, I honestly think they're going to pull, it's going to be like the Oz stuff, like Return to Oz. Return to Oz pulled from two books to sort of create one story, for better or for worse. Not everybody cared for that movie. But I feel it's a similar thing. There's like 20-something Oz books. There's 20-something Zelda games. They're going to pull a little from column A and a little from column B, but they're going to have to make one story out of multiple things. And I think they could do it. We'll see what happens. It'll be, or it might be like a completely original type of idea that also exists in the same timeline. I think there's a lot of ways to do it. We'll see. Yeah. And Questbuster says, talks about the New Zealand filming and says, let's go Lord of the Ring fans. Hey, if you're in New Zealand now your tourism's going to be Lord of the Rings visiting and Zelda visiting if the movie's good. So if I'm in New Zealand, I'm fucking getting out the confetti cannons right now for my tourism industry. Tiger Claw in chat says, do the Zelda movies based on the original games. Then if they're successful, the sequels would have to be based on the 3D Zelda games. Every game is a rehash. You have to rescue the princess in each one. And that's why I don't think it's going to just one for one the movies. And I would not expect the rescue the princess trope to translate very well into the movies. Sheik will exist in the movies. I will bet the farm on that. Sheik will exist in the movies, because they're not going to go with the damsel in distress trope for the movies.
Yeah, but she was hardly a damsel in distress in Tears of the Kingdom.
Right. So there's going to be, they're going to incorporate a little from column A and a little from column B to well round out these characters. Well, just like they did in the Mario movie. And instead they flipped the script and Luigi was the damsel in distress, so to speak. It was a little different than that, but they flipped the script. I'm not saying it's going to be that much of a pivot. Like, there will still be like Link probably having to get Zelda out of danger, but I think the movies might show us a little more of what's going on from Zelda's perspective than we, especially in the classic games, we never saw. In the newer games, yes, but in the classic games, no. So we're going to see what happens. I think there's a lot of armchair critics with this, and I'm going to tell you, and I made a bleat on Blue Sky about this. The day that that trailer comes out for the Zelda movie, I'm logging the fuck off, because fans are going to be insufferable when that trailer comes out. Present company included, myself, fans are going to be insufferable when that trailer comes out because everybody's going to be nitpicking every little frame. There's going to be 3-hour YouTubes. There's going to be live reacts. It's all going to be there. And it's going to be insufferable. But I think what could be interesting is that Nintendo could roll out that trailer within the Nintendo Today app first. It's not to say it won't get copy-pasted onto YouTube and all the other places, but Nintendo has the ability to put out that trailer on their Today app first. We'll see. All right, anyway, enough on that. It's just a release date. But the reality, for me, this release date is like reality that these movies are happening and they're not going to be stuck in development hell. Like, the only thing that could go wrong now is that it's a Warner Brothers movie that gets hosed to be a tax write-off. But thankfully, it's not a Warner Brothers movie. So
it's a Sony movie.
It's a Sony. Yeah,
nothing wrong with any Sony movies.
So we're just going to hope that doesn't happen. Like, they ought to be contractually obliged with Nintendo to actually release the movie. Anyway, we'll see what happens. Darksakura.
So there's more news in the saga of Ubisoft. Yes, them. They have announced on this past Thursday that they are creating a new gaming subsidiary in conjunction with Tencent, investing $1.25 billion into it. The subsidiary will take care of Ubisoft's like longest best known brands of Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, Rainbow Six. And that actually boosted their shares by like 10.3% just after the announcement. This showed up on Friday. But in their press release, they said, and I quote, that it will focus on building game ecosystems designed to become truly evergreen and multi-platformed, backed by greater investment and boosted creative capacities, it will drive further increases in quality of narrative solo experiences, expand multiplayer offerings with increased frequency of content release, introduce free-to-play touch points, and integrate more social features. So the investment is actually the new subsidiary is valued, and I keep in mind this comes from a European source, at 4 billion euros. So they're thinking that it could quadruple their sales from this range, like to much further on down the line. I mean, this comes from being speculated from a potential sale of the company to now this. And Bloomberg did report earlier that they were going to be looking into bringing in external investments in a new entity. And I guess this is what it is. I mean, who knows? We'll see what happens because of it.
I feel like both could be true still. I feel like this is priming the rest of Ubisoft to get sold. That's what I feel like this is.
I don't entirely think so.
Fair.
I think that there's a pride issue on the line for this too.
With the Guillemot family being direct investors in this whole thing, possibly.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I don't know. I can't help but feel like this is the first step. And it's probably a pessimist with everything else that's been going on in the industry the last few years. And, you know, I would prefer that you're correct, Darksakura, but I just can't feel, I can't help but feel like this is just priming the rest of Ubisoft to be sold. But we'll see.
We'll see.
That's true. All right. Well, something else selling right now. Not things at GameStop, right?
Yeah, promising to sell eventually at GameStop. I thought it's like if they can't do it with a super hyper inflated evaluation, then how are they going to do it at all? Well, they're going to put all their money that they can into Bitcoin. Here, roll it all on Bitcoin. $1.3 billion on Bitcoin, and they're
how early 2024 of them.
Yep, they have $4 billion in cash reserves still, and they're going to put it in Bitcoin. And then it says also, basically that the cryptocurrency was at trading at $87,000, and it was, you know, of course, peaked at $105,000. No possible way it could crash. No possible way. This seems like a very safe bet. And I don't know, man. Like, I'm surprised they're still around, honestly.
I am shocked GameStop's still in business. Like, I'm just going to keep it real. I am shocked that that store is still in business. As we're watching, like, you know, what, Sears around the nation go under. What's the latest one that they started closing all the stores? It was kind of...
Macy's.
Macy's, that's right, because our big Macy's here in Sacramento. Macy's, right by the Kings Arena, is gone.
We
now.
Just had Joann's closed.
Joann's,
now.
Yes. That's the other big one. So, yeah, this is just, like, I'm kind of shocked that GameStop is, like, holding on, to be honest. You know, and again, I realize there's a very lot, there's a lot of hardworking people on the front line, and this is a lot of, like, people's first job experience.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and, like please, I am sorry to be such a pessimist. This is not about you hardworking folks and all about the way these companies are mismanaged. And nobody will tell you more about how these companies are mismanaged than those people on the front line.
No, exactly. Yeah, for sure. And it's not like, you know, I mean, back in the day, we used to complain about, like, pushing subscriptions and stuff like that. It's like, we know that it's not the employee that's meaning to do right. that. It's pressure from higher ups to turn a profit in what is not a very profitable industry, at least resale wise, you know. And I get it now with the Funko stuff that they're doing that. But, like, honestly, like, I look at other game stores out there. Like, for example, I went to the local retro game store yesterday to just
check
out.
Which one? There's a couple of them now.
The new Fire and Ice.
Okay, I haven't been over there yet. I need to go over there.
So Fire and Ice, they're right there by the old Qzar, but, like, or Chuck E. Cheese, you know, in Citrus Heights. But it's I think it took over, like, the old Pier 1 or Cost Plus or something.
Oh, there was a Pier 1 over there. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they split it up between that, and now it's, like, some freight tools place. Not sure. Harbor Freight, but something else.
Sure.
Anyways, so, yeah, we went there. Very, very nice store. They have, like, tons of, like, new in-box retro games if you want to pay that kind of money. Or they have, like, very nice not in-box retro games. They sell tons of, like, you know, Magic and Pokemon cards and all that stuff. Lots of, like, these cool signs that it looks like they custom make, like these giant, like, display signs you can put into your game rooms or whatever. So really nice laid out store. That's how a game store should be. Like, that is, like, kind of the heyday of GameStop and stuff like that. It's like, it's just a nicely laid out, clean store. No Funko Pops.
I love that idea of combining, like, retro video games. And even, do they sell current video games too, or is it just retro?
I mean, they have, like, PlayStation 4 games, and okay. So I wouldn't be surprised if they had PlayStation 5 games, but it looked like everything.
I love that they combine that with the concept of a physical game room and physical games, whether it be, like, the Pokemon cards or, you know, like, things
and
you would
they
have.
Play games there too.
Yeah, because now I'm like, look, I've got all this room for signage here in my office. I'm like, oh, I should go over there and see what they've got. Because I got, like, I will say it, the retro one downtown, I can't remember their names, but the ones over on J Street downtown. Yeah, I did pick up a cool little, I'm pointing over here, it's on my wall over here. It's one of those like
game over or something like that.
The box, 3D box pixel art. I have a Castlevania scene in like 3D, and I looked for them again last time I was there. They didn't have any, so I don't know if they just stopped.
Like a shadow box.
Yeah, it's like that. Yeah. It's like that. So I was like, oh, I want to get more for other games, but they're gone from that store. I can probably get them online somewhere, but there's something kind of fun about going in the store and seeing it for yourself, the quality in person and all of that. So
it was really nice. Like, honestly, like I was going to get stuff, but I was like, you know, I have a whole stack of Nintendo games here that I'm not playing. And I'm like, maybe looking at getting a retro emulation system type thing. And, like, I don't really need to buy this. But they were very nice. It was a lot better than, like, going to the flea market out on Folsom Boulevard where, they're trying to sell their whole inventory for, like, $1 million. And it was just, like, unorganized.
Is Dan still there?
I think that's who's selling. And
yeah, that's the one in Denios. Like Trader Dan's the one out in Denios.
The one in Denios. Okay, no, this is the other one.
Have a place in.
And it's just, like, dirty, and it's, like, good luck finding anything, because it was just a stack of cartridges, half the labels rubbed off. It's, like, Like, you can't sell stuff like that. You can try, but, like, it's
I remember when that guy was in the news trying to sell his whole inventory. And all I'm not trying to be rude, but it is, like, that place looked like the type of bodega that exists in 105 degree heat on the weekends. Like, that.
Be rude.
That's it. That's, you know, just it looked like it felt in the weather. So
it was just not. If you had the intention to go purchase something from them, good luck finding what you want, because yeah. Like I said, it was not organized at all. Like, this is all in alphabetical order. They had clear, distinct sections for each of the things. They sell retro games. They sell all the peripherals, all the stuff that you'd possibly need. Like, this is very easy to find stuff, whereas that is just like someone took a bunch of them, just dumped it in a pile, maybe stacked it up, and that's it. And I mean, it was dirty and just gross.
Do you remember? I'm going to do a tangent train for a minute. My first job out of high school that I had was for a local video chain. They don't exist anymore, so I'll say it was called Placer TV Video. Do you remember them, Loki?
Yes.
Placer TV Video. That's where I used to work. I used to work at their flagship store in Old Town Roseville many years ago, before most of you were born. And the thing about that store is that the owners firmly believed that the movies should not be organized. That they were out there by letter and by category, but otherwise, and it was the type of thing you had to take the box, bring it to the counter, and then little old me would go find it in the back, which was completely alphabetized by number and categorized. It was very easy for me to find, but for you to find the movie, and then they would have just one section that was just clumped with new releases. This new release is just set, it's just go find them. And they firmly believed that was the way to do it, because that way people can find something new to watch. That was it. That was their big. This is how people find something new to watch. Meanwhile, somebody's coming in there going, do you have a copy of Heat with Val Kilmer? Because that was, you know, how many years ago I was working at this video store. And I'm like, yes, I show we have one in inventory. All right, let's go out and try to find the box. It's not there. It's not there. It's not there. Somebody return it. It is such a pain in the fucking ass.
People don't browse anymore.
No, no. And the people would figure that out. Just come to the counter and ask the kid behind the counter to find the damn thing for you. Annoying. Otherwise, it was a decent job, though. The people there were great, and I learned a lot in the short time that I worked there. But, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, so I don't know, like, why that they would do that. I mean, because obviously people are able to find other things in stores that are perfectly organized.
Also with this store, I see in chat, Bobby's like, I worked for Blockbuster, and I'm sure people worked for Hollywood. No, Placer TV had something that those chains didn't have. We had the top shelf movies. Loki's nodding. We had the top shelf movies, which means the movies that were on top of the shelf where the kids couldn't reach them. They weren't in a back room. They were on the top shelf where the kids couldn't reach them.
And they were kids' eyes don't porn. Look up, I know,
they were slightly porn bigger DT boxes. Porn. That's right, kids. We rented porn, which made more money than anything else in that store, because porn releases never, never go old. And I will say I had the unique experience of renting porn to my friend's dad. That is the type of thing. That is a memory that doesn't leave you. Anyway.
So what are your plans for tonight? No, it's sorry.
And not, in case any of my current friends are listening, not a friend I have talked to since grade school. So nobody that knows me now has to worry. This is a friend I have not talked to since grade school. But
you know what?
Yeah, what?
When I was in college in my dorm, we used to just find random porn and watch it for hilarity reasons. Yeah. Just all of us, like a big group of people, just watching and riffing it the whole time.
And look, and I'm not shaming people that watch porn. Like, everybody's watched porn at some point in their life. I'm not shaming porn. It's just when you're 18 and still learning a lot about the world, it was a very eye-opening experience. That's all I have to say. I think he didn't know who I was, and that was fine by me. All right. Let's go back to the GameStop story and why they might be playing Katy Perry's The One That Got Away on loop this week. Because we have news that the magazine that used to be a part of GameStop, Game Informer, is coming back. That's right. An announcement on the official Game Informer Twitter, which I don't know why Any respectable organization is still using Twitter, but I'm going to get off that soapbox or we'll be here for 5 hours tonight. Game Informer's official Twitter has said that the publication is, you know, was shutting down and all that. And then now Game Informer is actually on its way back. On the YouTube channel is actually, I'm sorry, the Twitter channel. Well, that's good. I thought Twitter was where they announced the comeback, but it was actually YouTube where they announced the comeback. There's a new YouTube that came out that says not only is Game Informer coming back, but the entire team is also going to be returning with this.
Nice.
Now, my understanding, though, is that there's a little bit of an asterisk with this that has the concern of some people. And apparently what's happening is that the company that is jump-starting this is one that was known for getting into the business with crypto and I think it was specifically NFT games. That's not to say they are still currently in that business, but it's kind of like a little bit of a stink.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah, a little bit of a stink, shall we say, that's hanging on that. So Gunzilla Games, who developed Off the Grid, and Off the Grid was a free-to-play battle royale game that would have an NFT marketplace for purchasing and selling in-games items. So there's just a little bit of stank, but I do think we're at a place where the market has firmly rejected these type of games. And so I'm also kind of like, I'm not going to play the morality police on this issue, because I'm for people that walk the walk and talk the talk. And here's the thing. You brought back Game Informer, and you didn't just zombie the brand. You brought back the staff that made it happen. It sounds like every single one of them. So, fine. If you made that type of investment, I hope it pays off for you, because I would rather see that type of investment pay off for a company than the NFT, you know, all that, you know, garbage.
Jazz.
Yeah. That it was not going to be good for our industry and has been soundly rejected. So... yeah, it's pretty awesome. The Digital Archive is back. There's new articles, there's new reviews, and the magazine will be revived later this year. And I think that's pretty exciting. And you won't have to walk into a GameStop to get it. So, yeah, Mike Defton chat says crypto bros are funding this, and I really don't like that. I just hope they let Game Informer run their stuff like they used to and keeps their hand away. That's where I'm at. Is that, like, again? I think a more morally gray company would have bought the name and hired cheaper people to do it. And if we're going to talk about companies doing wrong things, we should talk about companies doing right things. And I think when the company hires the original staff and brings this back in a manner that I think we can all agree is the way we can bring it back, I'm willing to overlook the company's past mistakes as long as we stay on this positive road we're on. Let's stay on this positive journey together and everything will be cool. But SGO and Hunter Matt says, worries me that if the parent company feels they're not getting a return on the investment, they'll force them to ram in the NFT crypto stuff, which is now what GameStop's ended up doing, essentially. But I mean, the market has already rejected this. The gamer fans as a whole has rejected this. And I know somebody's going to DM me going, but Rob, what about that store marketplace? Very few people are turning a profit off that stuff. Ask some of our friends we used to podcast with how the NFT thing has gone for them. Bobby Blackwolf in chat points out nothing about the GI vault. No, nothing about that either. So, yeah. DJ Roma S says, crypto bros are bringing back a magazine, bringing back the staff, and doing something good. I fail to see the issue here. Yes, we are hoping that our crypto bros have found a better path forward. And that is to be celebrated. All right. Let's move on.
Yes.
I believe Dark Soccer is next.
Yeah. And, well, it's another bit of layoff news, because of course it is. I mean, who here likes Myst or Riven?
I love it. Yeah.
I've never played them.
All time classic. I mean, Myst is like it's always picked for these Hall of Fames, most influential, greatest of all time. of its era for a reason, you know, and,
well,
and yeah.
The developer Cyan Worlds has cut its staff by half.
That's
although, I mean, it is 12 people.
Well, still.
But that is roughly half of their team. Yeah. Because apparently they said they were forced into a tricky spot where they were not able to cover costs. I'm actually going to read, industry conditions have forced us into a tricky spot where we are having to weigh the future health of our studio against the month-to-month realities of game development in 2025. Throughout the past year, we've been ultra transparent with the entire Cyan team about the choppy waters we find ourselves in, as well as the dangers ahead. While the news of a layoff was not a surprise to the team, it was and is still deeply saddening for all of us.
Yeah.
We have done our best to pad the landing for those affected with severance packages. We would implore any fellow developers looking for world-class talent to reach out.
Yeah, this
that actually seems pretty sincere.
No, it does. And I think maybe because it is a smaller studio, and as much as this news sucks, you feel a little bit more, let's say, humanity in this than a lot of the game layoff news we've had from larger corporations. So while this news sucks, and I'm not going to sugarcoat that, at least they have been fairly transparent throughout this process and so forth. And I think, you know, that's what we as fans who support these companies look for these companies to do, is to, you know, keep doing that right thing for these people that they do unfortunately have to let go. But I understand, like, you know, Cyan, I believe the latest things they published were VR versions of Myst and Riven, which, while that sounds really cool, and I actually would like to try that because those games are epic, I'm not sure maybe VR took off. I think that, to me, that sounds like they kind of hedged some bets in VR. And this is not me poo-pooing VR, because I understand people are doing amazing things in VR. But the reality is, it's not adopting, especially right now, amongst gamer fans, the way I think many people predicted. And I would say the PlayStation VR 2 is sort of your model for that. And the fact that they keep cutting the price and the sales are not moving the way they used to is sort of like my proof of that whole thing, is that VR is not giving to the gaming economy, I think, the way people predicted. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
well, more to
sorry, I was gonna say, depending on your enthusiasm, maybe that's a good thing, maybe that's a bad thing. But I, you know, it's still a bummer. Anyway, Darksakura.
Well, more to the point of the layoffs, and Bobby pointed this out in chat, that their follow-up post had the 12 people listed and how to contact them for hiring. So,
with permission.
Truly, they are doing their best for that. But, I mean, we're coming just for the first quarter of 2025. That's about 1,200 game developers losing their jobs. This is coming from about, I think, 14,600 in 2024 and 10,500 in 2023. Of course, that doesn't, you know, include people who might have been rehired or hired by other places. But I'm just saying, it's there.
At least we know what Cyan's not doing, because they're very transparent through this process, is that they're not laying these people off because they believe the jobs will be replaced with AI. Unfortunately, I am not sure that is the case for other game developers out there. And that decision is going to come back to bite them in the butt in a huge way. If you don't think gamers are going to see through AI-generated bullshit, just you wait. And that's why I'm worried about this Ghibli, which, without going down that whole rabbit hole, that's what has me worried about this Ghiblification thing that's going on right now, and how many people that don't really know the nuances of this are really buying into that. That's a very dangerous thing that's happening.
I think this is not the sort of thing that would make Miyazaki happy.
No, in fact, he said as much in 2017 or something. He made a comment on the AI that was not complex, because it's making the rounds again, because people are attributing it as a current quote. It's not, it's an old quote, but I'm sure his position has not changed. It has only intensified after what happened this week. I would not be surprised if there was, I would not be surprised if there was legal action like that. To me, that's going to have to happen. That, like, Studio Ghibli kind of needs to sue OpenAI, and that needs to play out.
It's clearly that they've trained it off of their material illegally. Clearly,
yeah,
that's what happened.
now that you say this, it actually is. There are some experts saying that there is grounds to take legal action against OpenAI. And in fact, I just read something about this. It was posted a couple days ago. The former general counsel at TV channel Showtime and AI expert Rob Rosenberg, Ghibli may actually be able to take legal action against OpenAI over the situation.
Yeah.
Even though it is a complex question. This is related to the Lanham Act from 1946, having to do with the primary federal statute governing trademark law in the U.S. So they could argue that converting user photos to Ghibli style, OpenAI is trading off the goodwill of Ghibli's trademarks and using Ghibli's identifiable style and leading to a likelihood of confusion among consumers that this function is endorsed or licensed by Studio Ghibli.
Yeah. S200 Matt in chat says it may be a fight in court, but it's worth the fight. 100%. This is how we need to redirect AI to stay in its fucking lane. And as I've said time and time again, AI, great when it's a tool, terrible when it's a replacement for art. Those are two very different things.
New York Times filed a lawsuit against OpenAI as well, and they requested for the case to be thrown out, and a federal judge denied them. So there are a lot of big ones out there. Meta has been accused of illegally downloading pirated books to train AIs.
Yeah, that one's nice. That, I like how they're like, oh, well, we shouldn't be punished for all that. So I'm like, you guys were suing, you know, folks $100,000 for downloading one MP3.
They need to be sued
to oblivion.
And fucking tired of the lack of accountability in this country.
I will also, though, point out that there is a cease and desist letter that's floating around from Studio Ghibli, and it is false. It's fake. It's not homage. It is art theft.
This is going to court somehow. If it's not the Ghibli thing doesn't, because it gets complicated with international stuff, this will go to court one way or the other. Just you wait.
I will throw this out here, though. ChatGTP is blocking those AI-generated Ghibli art pieces, quote, art.
Interesting.
So there is that. Anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
Not meaning to go off on the tangent there, but it is worth mentioning.
No, it's absolutely worth mentioning when you look at things from an industry perspective and why these layoffs happen. So, you know, as much as this news sucks with Cyan, they're doing everything right. And then when you, for this difficult process, and then when you look at these other big companies that just seem to have no heart, why they're laying people off, how they're laying people off, like it's such a contrast, and just no wonder it's so ego reducing in the industry.
Anyway. I would say if you're going to want to look, by the way, back though to those updates about Ghibli, mm-hmm. look to NHK. Mm. They're pretty much the ones who've been getting the quotes and the news on it directly from the company.
Okay. Let's move on. We're going to go to another story from Loki.
Yep. So along the same lines of where, you know, some of the stuff in the industry is pivoting the wrong way, Sony has kind of done that in the past with some of this push to make a ton of live service games and then having to walk that all back after, of course, Concord completely bombed and everything. But we had a interesting comment from ex-PlayStation boss Sean Layden, said that part of the reason that he left Sony was because he liked to make things like big single-player solo epic games like God of War, Spider-Man, Last of Us, Uncharted, Horizon. Says I didn't have the vision or the energy to try, you know, to take this into a new era of live service gaming. All that's considered, it seemed to be like a good time to step down after 32 years at Sony. So it sounds like that they are pushing to move this into the live service stuff. And it's just like, I'm not inspired to make anything within that space. You know, it's kind of putting pressure on the creatives at the company. So, yep. Got people
interesting
leaving
sort of
because of live service stuff.
Yeah. That's a heck of a way to kind of see what's coming and make moves appropriately. I wonder how many people are doing this because of AI. It's interesting.
It is interesting.
I don't know what else to say about it, so I'm going to move on. Let's talk about the Multiverses developers, which unfortunately, as we all know, Multiverses got the plug pulled, essentially. They're on their last season. But apparently, Player First, which was the team behind Multiverses before, you know, Warner Brothers going to Warner Brothers, apparently they were going to be working on, this comes through a podcast, you know, it's one of these whole once associated with Warner Brothers San Diego and all this. So anyway, the podcast was Sacred Symbols, you know, so I don't know how much this is hearsay or direct knowledge, but I would believe this, that they were working on a Mario Kart style racing game, and it was codenamed Moonlight. Apparently, they were kind of floating around some ideas and titles for this. Moonlight's roster of drivers would have been from Warner's IP, like Adventure Time, Tom and Jerry, Scooby-Doo. It was built in Unreal Engine 5, and it had these stylized graphics with it. Apparently, also the source on this podcast, the host, Colin Moriarty for Sacred Symbols, said there was quite a lot of animosity internally from people that worked on the game, who felt it was profoundly unfair that their sister team, Player First, got to launch Multiverses twice while they never got a shot to launch at all. Interesting. But, it should be pointed out, you know, Mario Kart clones are nothing new, and some of them have actually done very well. Like, I think we all kind of liked Sega's All-Star Racing, and because, you know,
I'm pretty sure they've had their own, like, you know, with the Adventure Time and stuff, they had Cartoon Network Racing was a game.
Years ago, but, you know.
Years ago.
Making but, like, once a again, Mario like, Kart 8, yeah.
Or how about this? How about this, Warner Brothers and studios that are employed by Warner Brothers? Stop trying to copy everybody else's games and make your own original games.
Well,
like, you wonder why, like, you can't have a successful game. It's because you're trying to crib off of everybody else. Come up with something unique yourself.
Here's the thing for me. Multiverses wasn't bad. Like, as you know, once
no,
they kind of got the
bad, yeah, but it's clearly, and you know, it was clear where the inspiration's drawn from.
We
we
have Disney Speedstorm, which is the same thing, but it's Disney. And I think it's doing pretty well. And I see friends on Twitch that stream that. I think DreamWorks has one too called All-Star Kart Racing, although I'm not sure.
Yeah, they had the DreamWorks also. That's so, pretty old by this point.
And then, of course, you know, if it's true, we're getting Mario Kart
Garfield
9.
Kart. Let's not forget Garfield Kart.
I forgot about Garfield Kart. If it's true, we're getting Mario Kart 9 or 10, depending on where you count Mario Kart Tour with this or not, you know, with that being announced almost definitely next week, you know, that would have probably really taken the winds out of any type of sales of this sort of game. And honestly, it's something that Speedstorm and the others need to be aware of, is that, you know, with a legit new Mario Kart title imminent, that's going to be huge. But it's not to say you can't have more than one successful kart racing game. Some of the others that aren't live service games are cute. I just, I was at a party where some friends were playing Crash Racing just the other day, which is...
Crash Racing is great. Yeah. Sonic Sega Racing All-Stars.
Bring me back Chocobo Racing without all that bullshit.
That should be the edition, without all that bullshit edition.
Which, I think technically the game, I think, exists as that now, but it's too late, exactly. And now it's like, that's never coming back. That was our chance, was that game, and womp. So I guess we have the Sonic thing to look forward to, and of course Mario Kart 9 or 10, which I'll finally know the actual name next week. All right, well, while I think about upcoming games, Dark Soccer is going to take a minute in our next segment to talk about old games.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
And Jamie, with the classic game of the week, you're on a roll with some bangers right now, some modern day classics. I'm assuming everything's turning 10 this month.
Yeah, but I mean, I was a little bit just taken aback by this, and actually this is 11 years we're looking at.
Oh jeez. Oh my god. I feel so old. All right, get to what is the classic game?
And while the creator of the series can be very problematic, I did pick Five Nights at Freddy's. It is a point-and-click survival horror game that was developed and published by Scott Cawthorn, where you play as a character named Mike Schmidt, who is a security guard at a pizzeria. And he has to basically guard the place and keep from being murdered by the animatronics that live there, or exist there, I should say. Yeah. So at any rate, it was actually developed as a result of criticism. So he had created a game called Chipper and Sons Lumber Company, and it said that the character, even though it's supposed to be like a family-friendly game, the characters were unintentionally frightening and had unnatural movement. So he's like, well, if that's what it is, then that's what we're doing. So 6 months it took using the Click Team Fusion 2.5 game engine. It was released on Windows through Desura on August 8, 2014, and then through Steam on August 18th. And then there were, of course, later versions that came out. And it received pretty positive reviews. It was considered frightening and distinct. The atmosphere, sound, gameplay, and of course, lots of a jump scare opportunity, at least. And I think what really pushed its popularity were the Let's Play videos and just the big kind of cult following that it got. I mean, and it's led to fan games and sequels and books and a movie, which I tried to watch some of the movie and I didn't think what I watched of it sucked too badly. But anyway, so you are the guard, Mike Schmidt, and you are guarding Freddy Fazbear's Pizza. You have to finish your shift, and it lasts from midnight to 6 a.m. without being killed. You know, should be easy at any other job, not this one. So you have almost nothing in the way of defenses. You have to sit in the office, and you have security cameras that let you monitor the place. And then you have, like, I guess a set battery level and doors you can open and close. And you can turn on lights here and there. And yeah, like I said, you've also got the steel doors to keep the characters from opening and from coming and going. And if you don't prevent them from entering the office, they will attack and kill you with a big jump scare and it's game over. So, and it's like basically each of the levels is like one night. It's about 10 minutes. And then if Freddy Fazbear shows up, then you hear the Toreador song, you know, anyway, for the March of the Toreadors. But at any rate, not to be confused, Vampire, the Masquerade people, nerds. Wait, I'm the one that came up with that. Never mind. Anyway, you have a higher difficulty each night. And then you have basically six levels. You have the five main nights and the extra sixth night. I'm getting to the other bit. So basically you listen to voicemails from his predecessor at the job. That explains the story that there were the animatronics, Freddy Fazbear, Bonnie, Chica, and Foxy have to become mobile at night or their servo motors will lock up if they're left off too long. And they said, you know, he's like, you know, make sure you keep yourself safe or you lock them up or they will mistake humans for an animatronic endoskeleton and have to put them inside a mechanical suit, which of course would kill the player. It talks about this thing called the Bite of 87, where apparently a person lost their frontal lobe and were forced into the animatronic. There's all kind of other stuff, you know, about a murder case for five children. It's pretty brutal. And then the fourth night, there's a voicemail that implies that the previous employee was killed by an animatronic while he was recording it. The fifth night has a message that's nothing but garbled sound, and then you get your paycheck after the fifth and sixth night. After the sixth night, you're given access to a seventh custom night where you can change the AI difficulty of the animatronics. After you finish the seventh night, you get fired. Isn't that great?
What a twist.
Yeah. So
the it's game foreshadowing very... the game industry.
Shush.
You do well, you get fired.
Shush.
Bum, 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 bum. But anyway, the point with the game is that, like, I mean, keep in mind, all those other games were like Christian oriented family, whatever games. And this is a horror game that does not have set violence in it. No gore, no blood. Lots of talks about it, lots of hints to it, but it uses that psychological factor to create the fear without it being graphically violent. And a reviewer for Game Revolution said it was the most terrifying game he'd ever played. There are, of course, other versions. There was the Windows via Desura. There was the Steam version, and then the version for Android and iOS came out. Windows Phone. There's been versions for Switch, PS4, and Xbox One. Those three came out November 29th, 2019. The mechanics were considered well designed, and it was like, I like the comparison of a game of Red Light, Green Light, but, you know, very lethal. Sound design was, I always thought the sound design was really good.
How Squid yeah. Game.
Huh?
So you said Red Light, Green Light, but very lethal. And I said, how Squid Game.
Well, this predates Squid Game.
I know, so. But still.
Yeah. But in anyway, there's a quote from Touch Arcade that said the game challenged players by forcing them to yield to their own paranoia. I think that is a very good way to describe it. Basically, instead of having the jump scares, you know, just be a thing that's just there, it's more of the possibility of one that scares you. Some people think it was too reliant on the jump scares, but I kind of, it's more of the anticipation of it. You know it's coming, right? But it has been just featured by some of the biggest influencers out there. There was the adaptation in 2017 for the film. There was the novel Five Nights at Freddy's, The Silver Eyes. There just all kinds of stuff. I mean, there was that controversy about Cawthorne and his donations, which we won't get into, but he's done a statement that he intended to pass on the management of the franchise to another party. And then, of course, this franchise has been subject to all sorts of theories, all kinds of stuff. And I mean, a lot of the fan base really did get this negative reputation for being toxic, but still super influential. Lots of fan games that were made around it. Some published on Game Jolt, and it made them create an entire video game category dedicated to it. There's just all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's happened. I'm not going to go into a lot of details, but there was different artists doing music around the lore, including the Living Tombstone, and their song was featured in the closing credit sequence of the film. So there you go. Oh. I remember going to your place and watching, what was it, the sequel, the second one with the kid?
Yeah, I think this was something Shane forced me to play, and I'm just not a fan of these games. And it's, and this, I want to be very clear. For people that are into them, I get it. And like, I understand why they are big games, especially with younger folks, because this is a horror game that's kind of safe for kids because there's not a lot of blood. A lot of it is very implied sort of things, you know? But for me, it's completely a game made out of jump scares, which is my least favorite game in a video game.
That's why I don't like Mori's in Dead by Daylight. You know that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, because there's just something that sets them off in my head. I get the same reaction to them as I do from a jump scare.
For me, it's not the Mori's that bother me because I know they're coming for that, but it's I cannot stand going against Trapper and Ghostface because of the jump scares. That's what gets me.
Myers for me.
Myers, I feel like the way that Myers has to play isn't like, I don't get jump scared as much, but yeah, I get it. Yeah.
But a good Myers is going to be a jump scare queen.
Yeah. No, I get that. I mean, I get that.
That's if you're going to be movie.
My MMR is not high enough for that.
And I don't even mind being jump scared in DBD because like I have a scream and laugh about it, but not. I prefer a jump scare when I have zero anticipation of it happening. It's the things that I anticipate, as in like what it is in Five Nights or with the Morries, that I just get this feeling of discomfort.
Yeah.
And I know they're not supposed to be happy and like, you know, Shay, she loves a Morrie, but me. No.
Yeah.
I don't even like doing them.
Yeah. And that's why for so long in DBD, I stuck to playing killer because when I was in control of the jump scares, it was fine. You don't really get jump scared as a killer. And I actually love playing as Ghostface. so it's kind of ironic.
But. I mean, I actually like, I hate that it's not as easy to photobomb a Ghostface Morrie. I love how Five Nights at Freddy's turned into Dead by Daylight because that's literally one of the next DLCs coming out.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's a good point. So, and as far as
I've had people though, friends quit the game because they don't want to contribute to Cawthorn getting any more money.
Yeah, and I get that, and I understand.
Was in that category.
I understand the problematic, you know, creator. I'm glad that it sounds like some of the money is getting distanced a little bit through another, you know, agency, you know, cause it's unfortunately there's going to be problematic people all over the games industry. If you're going to dodge problematic people, there's a lot of games you're going to be dodging a lot. You're going to have very little left to play. You know, and even like, I think about like Loki plays Minecraft every single week. And we all know that the original creator of Minecraft is a gigantic douche canoe. And thankfully he has nothing to do with this. He has nothing to do with the series anymore, but still, you know, it's
just imagine it just someone going down the river in a giant Massengill bottle. Summer's Eve.
while singing, of course. Floating down the river.
I'm going to take a tiny tangent here and I'll tell you why I like the word douche as an insult for guys.
Okay, please.
Because a douche is something that actively causes harm to a woman's body. And I think it's highly appropriate to use that for men who cause harm to a woman's body. Or anybody's body. Think about it.
Fair enough. All right. Let's move on and talk about some other headlines in the gaming industry rapidly in a segment we call, appropriately, Rapid Fire News. Loki.
Yes. So I know this is going to come as a big sad for you guys, but Hogwarts Legacy isn't getting its DLC it's supposed to have gotten. Apparently, its expansion has been canceled.
Oh, that's sad. Oh, she passed away? Oh, all right.
Yeah, so it says,
remember, one day we will read her obituary.
They're apparently in the midst of a leadership change, and they need to regain their credibility and swagger at producing great games. Okay.
Sure. Yeah, cool. Making games on a different intellectual property. Great idea.
Maybe
pick a good one.
Anyway, I want to point out that I'm drinking this iced coffee that's Girl Scout. It's, they say coconut caramel, but I prefer the other cookie factory that still calls them Samoas. I'm drinking this Girl Scout flavored iced coffee, and you think this has all the makings of like literal gay power in a can. It's iced coffee, cookies, but it's only okay. I find it's only okay.
How much sugar's in it?
That's like at 15 carbs, 13 carbs.
I meant sugar.
Oh, actual sugars, total sugars, 10 grams.
Not bad.
Yeah, it could be worse. It's still mostly coffee.
The coffee queen wants you to share, Rob.
Coffee. Dan.
I was going to say, we also got news that to celebrate the 10th anniversary of Undertale, they're going to be having a live orchestra performing the Undertale soundtrack in London. The event called the Determination Symphony. It's going to be held June 22nd. You can get your tickets now.
I should probably put Megalovania back as my ringtone. But mine was the Homestuck, one of the Homestuck versions.
Speaking of live concert symphony things, I bought tickets to go see Dear Friends on. Is Dear Friends going to be in Sacramento? Sacramento.
What?
Sacimento.
Why didn't you get me some?
Sac-tomato. Because you're a grown-ass person. You can afford your tickets.
Why didn't you tell me?
Dear Friends, buy your own.
I only, because I literally saw on an Instagram ad last week. And so it was November 1st is the day. So you should go. They're not sold out. They still have a ways to go. We can do a dinner beforehand. That would be fun.
Yes.
Dinner.
I think the last time I went to one of those concerts with you was in San Francisco.
That was a long time ago. Long time ago. I'm just excited because apparently 16 music is in the rotation now. That's what I really want to hear. So. Oh, imagine if Ben Starr went on tour with them. He won't. He's way too booked and blessed in other areas. Which, by the way, that Expedition 33 game, hype. I really hope that game isn't bad. I really want that game to be good.
Shay, it's the Dear Friends concert. It's Final Fantasy music.
Yeah, with an orchestra. So it's fine. It's a fancy night. It's a night at the opera. Except it's not opera.
Fancy.
It's fancy feast. All right. Anyway, who are we on? Are we on Jamie? Yeah, we're on Jamie's story.
Huh? Didn't I just?
Rapid fire.
Never mind. How about Rapid Tetris? Tetris.
Sure.
Wait, that's you.
I was gonna... No. You want to switch? Sure.
I'm like, I don't even know why I pulled that up because shit happens, maybe?
It's fine.
Okay, because I was like, why do I have a Tetris story? Anyway, live radio. SAG-AFTRA, they are they have made a statement. They represent 160,000 media professionals, including voiceover artists, and they have two new agreements: the Student Interactive Waiver Agreement and the Game Jam Waiver Agreement. Those agreements provide video game developers at every stage of their careers the opportunity to work with union performers, even as the video game strike continues. So this is basically so students can hire professional voice actors for their games.
That's great. That should be a bridge that's easy. It's kind of one of those things you wouldn't have thought would have got left out before, but obviously SAG-AFTRA's beef is not with students and people up and coming. It's with large corporations. So this is great. Great news.
And it works with them to help them satisfy course requirements during game developments.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's pretty awesome, you know. And of course, it's like you said, I don't think AI is going to enter into it. They do have that the participants have to sign the project to the appropriate agreement. So they have to. It's also, the big thing is that provided that the project does not generate revenue.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So
wait, does that mean if we did another game jam here at VOG Network, that Bobby can make Flappy Bird with SAG-AFTRA actors? Or Flappy Vog, excuse me.
If Bobby goes back to school for game design, then yes.
He could take a class at a community college. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this might shock you, but I have a story about Tetris.
What?
And yes, it's that Shocked. Tetris game that I know many of you are looking forward to. It is Tetris the Grandmaster 4, Absolute Eye.
Under I'm really surprised there's a story about Tetris.
Under his eye. I know nobody would ever ruin that. I'm just kidding. It doesn't matter. Everybody knew this game was coming, and now we know when. This week. Get ready, y'all. No April fooling. April 3rd, 8 o'clock Pacific, 11 o'clock Eastern. That's going to be $34.99, or translate that to your local currency. Yes, it'll be out in Japan as well. That's like April 4th at what, like noon, I think? It'd be 3,900 yen if you live over there. So yes, this is Tetris the Grandmaster. It was first in arcades in August of 98. Then there was Grandmaster 2 in 2000, Grandmaster 3 Terror Instinct in 2005. And yes, the rights have been obtained. Everything is lined up. And now we're getting a brand new Grandmaster game this week. What game modes? How can we possibly do more with Tetris, you ask? Well, you have marathon mode. I mean, it's not Tetris without a marathon mode. You have normal mode. also, you know, kind of important. Asuka mode, which is for intermediate players, where Tetraminos drop at top speed. So you better be fast, ho, to clear. That's what? Actually in the press release.
Asuka mode?
In yeah. the press release.
No, it's okay. not in the... It's
it must
not.
Be,
I made
it must
that
be
up.
That it must be the character they were showing in the video there, Asuka.
Yeah. There's also a backstep function. You can rewind if you need to replace a Tetramino. Master... That's right. You can show that you are a master baiter in Tetris, where advanced players will put all Tetris skills to the test. You level up a bunch and Tetraminos drop at maximum speed right away. It sounds like it's similar, but there is no rewind. T-spins, all clears. You better be good. Kahona mode. Big blocks. That's actually what's on the screen right now for our Twitch viewers. Big blocks. This is bringing Duplos to a Lego match. It's big, big blocks. Every time you get an all clear, you get a bonus illustration, such as this lovely anime person playing a guitar. Isn't that lovely? Early on, you get a guide to help you. And then when you pull them off, you get visuals. Cute. And then Shiranui, I hope I'm saying this right, where you face off against CPU opponents. And I'm sure they are going to give you hell in this game. So enjoy that. What?
Wait, you said Shiranui? That's like a ghost story.
Well, anyway, I know many of you already have this on your wish list for Steam and you're ready to go for this week.
It's an optical illusion.
I'm a whore for puzzle games and I love Tetris, so I'm going to pick this up too. I don't know a lot about Grandmaster. I've just heard it is hard as hell.
Yes, it is. You're correct.
Yes, because it's based on the Sega game that was...
Not necessarily Grandmaster, maybe the Grand Bastard.
Anyway.
And don't forget about the other mode, though, Rob.
What?
There's Master of Puppets mode where it plays nothing but Metallica.
There you go. Perfect. Perfect. Well, actually, with it being on Steam, it's very easy to minimize the music in that game. And do you know how often I love to do Diablo 4 with Enya music? One of my favorite things. Slaying demons to Enya. Brilliance. Mm-hmm. I am 100% serious.
Are you sure that doesn't promote bowel movements?
No, not in this house. All right, moving on. We're going to travel around the world and check out some other games you can play this week. Not just Tetris the Grandmaster, but Loki, what's coming out in the U.S.?
Not much, because remember, we're past the end of the financial year now, and everybody's taking a break. So we only have four games this
for
week.
For some companies, some companies end the financial year. Some end it in June.
Most end it now. But anyways, so we have Coria, which is coming out on PC and PlayStation 5. Croc, The Legend of Gabos on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Last of Us Part 2 Remastered on PC. Fuel Brothers, Tonosama number 1 on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. And finally, Tetris the Grandmaster 4, Absolute Eye on PC. That's it.
All right, well, let's go over to Japan and check out what's coming out there. Keep in mind, these are only physical releases, so Tetris Grandmaster isn't on that list. But it's maybe lending credit to Loki's perspective about the financial year. It is a very slow week. We only have one release in Japan this week. That's on the PlayStation 5. It's Scholar's Mate, which comes out in a regular and limited edition game. This looks like a scary game. It's a first-person horror escape room. Oh, that sounds like Shane's jam. I wonder if he knows about this game. But yeah, you explore and solve the hidden secrets of the hospital. Oh no, not a scary hospital. Scholar's Mate, that's coming out this week in Japan on the PlayStation 5. Otherwise, it's empty on the Switch, which is kind of surprising, but maybe because we had that release of Saga Frontier 2 that just came out of nowhere. So maybe there's some other things there. So, how about the UK, Dark Sakura?
Some stuff. No, really. We have on the 31st, we have Sultan's Game for PC, also Wild Keepers Rising, Post Trauma for PC, PS5, Xboxes. There's an undated game called Screaming in the Basement. I really want to know what that is. Moving on into April, on the 1st is Koira for PC, PS5, Nif for PC and Switch. On the 2nd, Elroy and the Aliens for PC. On the 3rd, The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered. Pinball FX VR for MetaQuest, Sand for PC, Echo Beach for PC, and that's it.
Sorry, now the chat is talking about my Enya Diablo thing. I'm sorry, S200 Matt just put the best idea in my head. Tiger Claw is talking about trance remixes of Enya music, which I never even knew was a thing, but this being the internet, of course it's a thing. I've never thought to seek that out before. And now, of course, Rule 34, it exists somewhere, right? So I'll have to seek that out. However, S200 Matt wins with this comment saying, forget the original soundtrack. Gotta call that 90s infomercial and get the Pure Moods CD. Oh, perfect. Now look, oh my God, I'm already hearing Enigma in my head. It's the return to innocence. Yeah. Like every fucking
album, okay?
I know. I unironically loved Enigma in the 90s. Like all their original CDs are fucking
part
great.
One was the song.
Their third album was extremely underrated with Beyond the Invisible. Oh, and their fourth album with the chick from Olive who did the vocals, Gravity of Love. That legit is like one of the best. That song is so fucking good. Oh my God. If you've never heard Gravity of Love by Enigma, go watch the music video right now. Because
it's so good.
It's him. Do you remember and there was that 90s trance band Olive? I'm dating myself. You remember
sort of.
You're not alone. Da, da, da. That was an Olive song. And so she teamed up with Enigma on their fourth album. It's so good. Anyway, I haven't done a stream in a very long time, but I know my next stream, because I run the audio through different channels so I can do this. My next stream is going to be Diablo 4 to Pure Moods. 100%. We're doing it.
So, Rob, I was playing Palia last night.
Oh, yeah.
And I was totally doing it to one of my old playlists, which is nothing but music from Bust a Move, Bust a Move 2.
Perfect.
Katamari Damashi.
I was just going to say, like a DDR soundtrack. Perfect. Perfect.
No, it wasn't any DDR.
That's fine.
It had some diverse system in there, like the diverse versus 8-bit, because I really fucking love Hinotori.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing Palia to Silent Hill, and that was pretty funny.
I remember. Do you remember... I wonder whatever happened to this guy. He was a good friend, and we just kind of drifted apart. But do you remember the gay guy named Garrett that used to come on the show years ago when we were at Loki's? Remember? I remember when him and I would go on long drives at night. Nothing weird, just, you know, we were bored, young. And we would go out to the rural parts of town that were really dark. Like out like the Yolo Causeway, rural roads out there.
Oh, jeez.
And we would drive out there and blast.
By the Yolo fruit stand.
Yes, and we would blast the Silent Hill 2 soundtrack, like at max volume. Good times. Good times.
You know what, Rob? You just made me think of Tia.
Mistress Tia?
We would go, in my Lancer.
I think she unfriended me on
driving through
Facebook.
Citrus Heights with White Snake's Here I Go Again playing out of my cheap ass radio.
Yeah.
The days.
I know. I think she unfriended me on Facebook, which is sad, but, you know, I understand. Like, I haven't talked to her in like 10 years, so I can't be mad about it, but it's you know, it's one of those like, oh, good memories. You know, people, the little footsteps friends leave in your heart, little things like that. So,
yeah.
Okay. Anyway, on that note, let's get, did we do UK dates? Did you do them?
Yeah, I just did.
So I just, then we got
Jeez,
on a tangent.
Because of screaming in the basement.
Look, I had to check with the surroundings of the tangent train.
Apparently, it's a flashlight jump scare game because SSJ100 Matt looked it up for me. But also, that just sounds like a metaphor for my life. Hmm. Screaming in the basement.
SSJ100 Matt says, next we will be playing games to Lilith Fair CDs. Y'all know I went to the first Lilith Fair. You know that, right? I am old enough. I went to the very first Lilith Fair in Mountain View, California.
Yeah, did you go to the Menzies Fair?
No, but I did.
You know the reference?
Yes, I do. That was Hedwig and the Angry Inch, right?
Hedwig.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Hedwig.
No, it's so who played that? Tracy Chapman was the one I remember. She was incredible. And she played a fucking didgeridoo on stage. That's all you need to know. Who else was at that one? It was Sarah McLachlan, of course. Paula Cole play
Tori
that
Amos?
Night? No, Tori wasn't there on that night. Oh my God, Suzanne Vega. Da, 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 da. That one. Suzanne Vega played there. And then I think there was one other big headliner.
I always think of Luca.
Oh yeah. Hello, my name is I live on the second floor.
Very da, sad. Da, da, da,
da. Was Fiona, I don't think Fiona Apple was at that date. I would have remembered that. It rotated from show to show. So yeah. I don't know why I keep thinking Sheryl Crow, but I don't think it was Sheryl Crow.
I think she was at one of them.
Yeah. I'm looking at the list here of who they had that toured, because it wasn't all of these people one night. Oh, I think Jewel was there. I think it was Jewel that was also there. Mm. I used to love Jewel, but that was in 1997. Yeah, all right.
Anyway.
That was in the 1900s. All right, moving on. Loki.
Did Luscious Jackson perform once?
Yeah, they were on Lilith Fair for sure.
I could love Luscious Jackson.
I know.
Well, my personal theme song was done by them, so.
I know. Is that Ladyfingers or
Ladyfingers.
Yeah.
One of the few songs I will actually get up and karaoke sober.
Fingers. And what was the other big song they had that was on MTV all the time?
Naked Eye.
Yeah, when my naked eye saw.
Of course, Daughters of the Chaos is my other favorite by them.
And my naked. I know you're streaming after the show tonight, and I demand. Yeah. 1900s music.
1900s? Let me go get out my gramophone.
No, I know. No, 1997 is the 1900s.
I think in 19th century.
No, 1900.
Or like 1900.
No, you know, the 1900s, 1997. All right, that's what the kids call it today.
I gotta look for my 90s playlist now.
All right, awesome. Okay, Loki, you've got a very serious story for us to finish this up here.
Very, very serious. Absolutely dead serious. Goat Direct will be taking place this year on April 1st. That, of course, is going to be tied in with more announcements for Goat Simulator 3. And much like last year when they made announcements about the whole... anniversary update and some, you know, additional DLC and stuff. No idea what exactly is going to be announced this year, but I mean, who knows? We had the multiverse of nonsense last time, and that was pretty cool. They're also going to be doing a Twitch Rivals April Fool's Goat Simulator 3 challenge that is going to have four teams of creators battling through wacky minigames. And that's going to take place on Twitch, of course, on the Twitch Rivals channel.
Nice.
I am excited. I can't wait to see what... I saw the finish playing through the multiverse of nonsense. I didn't finish that, but I'll have to go back and do that.
All right. Well, with this part of the show, we'd like to welcome your comments through our listener roundtable. You can also always leave us messages throughout the week on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. And you can send us emails. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place where you can send us emails. But I don't think we had any this week, if I remember right.
No.
No. We also will be reading replies from Blue Sky. I didn't prompt anybody on Blue Sky this week, so I don't have a lot to read here, except I will acknowledge we got quite a handful more followers this week on Blue Sky because Orange Wright had recommended us for a starter pack. And this is living that thing we always say at the end of the episode where, like, tell a friend about the show, help us spread the word. Orange Wright gets the Gold Star Listener of the Week award for recommending us for the starter pack because we got, like, probably like 20 new followers on Blue Sky from it, which doesn't sound like a lot, but we value every listen. Put us in a starter pack of like podcasts. I just put a post over on our own Blue Sky, which is at orangeloungeradio.com, the video game podcast pack. So thank you for that. And shout out to the video game podcast pack. By the way, there is also a VOG network pack. If you are new to Blue Sky, you can also check out the VOG network site, which is at vognetwork.com. And that gives you all of our personal accounts on Blue Sky. It gives you the show accounts and also the people that we work with here at the Voice of Geeks Network, such as Bobby, Anime Jam Session, and British Invaders. Speaking of Anime Jam Session, I see that we have a call in our Discord green room. Why don't we get to that call? Let's do it. We haven't taken a call in a while. Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Well, hey, it's the one and only Ranma. How is everybody doing tonight?
Fantastic. It is great to hear from you, Rama.
Ask me next week.
Yeah. Ask me after the reveal of the Switch 2.
Rob, I just want you to know, I really appreciate the last 10 minutes of the show.
What, talking about the 1900s?
Yes, because I just came back from 90s Con about 3 hours ago.
I love it. Oh, my fucking God. How was 90s Con? I want to know. Oh, my God.
Okay. I got a gift for a coworker at work, but since you're a big fan of the show as I am, I'm going to show you what I bought him.
Please do. Okay, I'm waiting.
Here we go.
Nice jammies, by the way. Yeah. Squad Goals, loves. But that's, I mean, Golden Girls is 80s, but I guess... You're right, it ran to 92. It ran till 92.
You're going to tell the Golden Gays that?
I absolutely not. The Golden Gays can do whatever they want.
I just found out they're a drag troupe out of the area, and I've got to go to one of their shows.
They used to do the drag shows here. It's actually really sad because the big drag queen that was behind the Golden Girls staging efforts in San Francisco, Heklina, she was the drag queen that passed away unexpectedly over Europe. And justice for Heklina, by the way, because the police are really dragging their feet on doing that investigation. So I would encourage more awareness about the topic. If you haven't heard of this, just Google Heklina and kind of what's going on with that. And just, you know, what an inspiration. I'm sorry to be a downer, but you can't say Golden Girls and drag. And I'm not, like, being a NorCal boy, I'm going to think of Heklina. So.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Before I get into why I wanted to call it, I will give you a brief rundown of 90s con. I will tell you this, if you want that nostalgia, you have to come out for it. You have to.
Well, they do 90s cons throughout the country, I thought.
No, it's only in, I think, Tampa Bay and Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I went up there to get, you know, my bestie Mako-chan, her belated birthday gift. Autographs by Matthew Lillard and Soleil Moon Frye.
What?
Fuck yes. Off. Soleil Moon Frye was there?
Yes.
Oh,
the line?
My God, I loved her growing up. Fuck.
Oh, you'll be a little, you might be a little jealous.
It's just laying on me.
Okay. So the line for Matthew Lillard was too long. So I said, screw it. I'll catch him at a Monster Media for the autograph. So I get on the line and they tell us that every hour Soleil has to leave, you know, to get something to eat for her blood sugar. Which is understandable.
Sure. Yeah.
Before she left, she handed everybody a cake pop to apologize because she had to go get something to eat.
Oh,
okay?
That's cute. Yeah.
And she gave everybody hugs. And I told her that I am here for my bestie for a birthday gift. So she autographed the first season of Punky Brewster, which I have right here.
I'm so
And
annoyed.
I'm showing you because she doesn't watch the show. So it says on here, Punky Power, happy birthday with her real name on it.
Punky Power. Oh, I love
it. And she's like, get your phone ready. So she did an impromptu happy birthday video for her.
No,
I love celebs that are so nice to their fans. Because, you know, last week I was talking about Felissa Rose from Super Late Camp, who's just like that, like goes the extra mile. Love her. Mm-hmm. But that's so great to hear about Soleil Moon Frye. I'll have to see her if she comes to a con. I will say, look, Rama, as jealous as I am, a couple years ago in Reno, one of those conventions up there, like I don't know, some comic convention was getting 90 stars. So I did get to meet and get a selfie with Jody Sweetin from Full House. So I've gotten to meet some of my, you know, 90s princesses throughout my life. So
you must have missed that post.
Oh, what happened now?
I met Jody Sweetin at 90s con last year. Oh, got the autograph, the selfie.
Yeah, but
we talked.
I'm not jealous about that because I've done that too. Oh, that's great. I love it.
Because the voice of Pikachu in the Japanese version of Pokemon is also the Japanese dub voice of Stephanie Tanner on Full House and Fuller House.
Oh, that's wild. Okay. Funny. Yeah. All right. Let's get to the topic you wanted to talk about tonight.
All right. Two things. One, the whole working in the video store thing. At the age of 16, take these tapes. Where am I going? Are you going to put them in the back room? What's in the back room? You'll see. Walks in the back room. Opens the door. Oh. And I hear from the manager, don't stay too long back in there, back there.
There's birds and bees in there.
And here's something I don't think a lot of people know, but during the 90s of the video stores and so forth, movies came out a year after they hit theaters, but if you went to a video store on a regular basis, you were able to see those movies 6 months before anybody else would because of
rental and sell through, baby.
Oh, yep. Loki lived that life for so long, and when I lived with Loki, I got the benefits of that because Loki would be like, this movie looks gay. You want to look at... No, he didn't say it that way. But he knew, like, what to look for me, right? He's like, oh, the Advanced Strangers with Candy DVD? I got you. We're going to watch the movie before it's out on DVD. Like, no, Loki was a champ with that stuff years ago when we lived together and in that era.
Yes, and the whole thing about breaking street date, it is a thing. Because two, three blocks down from the video store I worked at was a rival video store. And I happened to walk in one
Not
day.
Not the
just
rival
because.
Video store.
And they had a list up on the wall of local video stores that were caught violating street date for Mortal Kombat 1. And our video store was listed there. And I was like, oh, you know?
That's so funny. And kids today will never know the joys of working in a video store.
I mean, not for nothing. That's how I used to get my anime dirt cheap.
Perfect. Anything else on your mind to share with us tonight, Rama?
A few weeks ago, you talked about the PlayStation FPGA emulator. I think it was called the Superstation. And I actually thought about picking that up. And then, because there are emulated games that I have never gotten a chance to play because either I couldn't rent it or I couldn't afford it or something like that. And then I started looking at my current game collection and all these remasters coming out. And I'm just like, Grandia, let me get that. I didn't get a chance to play that. Let me add that to my collection. Oh, Tsukiyoden, I only was able to play 2 hours of it. Let me get that. And I realized a third of my collection now are games that came out previously that either never got a chance to play because I didn't have the console, or I was only able to play it for a few hours and then return it. I remember renting Final Fantasy III, making sure it was the same cartridge every time, and praying that nobody
with
my
save. Oh my god, that's so I could continue. Funny.
Yes.
Yes.
So when they did that whole pixel remaster, which I'm gonna go into, and I know you're probably mentally laughing about that because you probably called that. Like when they announced that pixel remaster, I remembered that. I'm like, you know what? I gotta get my hands on it. Square Enix, get it available, physical copy, $74.99. That's my black ass, Square Enix. No. Holidays come around. Buy two, get one free. Okay, so if I get this game, I get this game, the game comes out to 30. I'll buy it then. Perfect. And I just found out that my sister has a Switch. And I'm like, you know what? Let me just get her a copy of Pixel Remaster. That game's expensive.
And you know what? Your sister could save over your save file so it could feel just like old times.
Oh, we had our own Nintendo. Oh,
okay,
so.
Okay.
But I'm like, okay, I will get her this game. Game's expensive. I'll just keep an eye out on who has it. I end up importing the game from Canada because it was on sale for $45.99 US.
Oh, wow.
And but shipping $50 done. The following week, price cut. The Pixel Remaster game for Switch and PS4 is $49.99. I'm just like,
annoying.
And I'm like, Robin Harris, ain't that a bitch?
Well, at least you didn't pay.
That's one of those FFS moments, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Yep. But in a way, I'm not too salty because I picked up mine at a 2-for-1 special. So when it comes down to it, I pay like maybe like $30 to $35 per game. So it's not so bad. So let me flip this over to y'all. Are there any games that you recently bought just because either you didn't have the ability to play it previously, or you're only able to play it for a few hours for XYZ reasons?
Similar to you, but different, the Suikoden 1 and 2 HD remaster. Part of the reason that pushed me to that is that I've actually not really played Suikoden 2. I played the first one, but never really the second one. I need to put, of course, I haven't put any time into it, and I need to, but, yeah. You know, such is life sometimes. But that would be my answer. I haven't bought, like, an actual classic game in a hot minute. I'm not going to these game shops that Loki's going to. Loki, I'm going to throw it over to you next, because you were talking about, did you buy anything at that Fire and Ice shop?
No, oh. I did not.
Never mind.
Because I know I wouldn't play it.
Well, so, then Dark Sakura.
I was looking at Zelda, though. I wanted a copy of Zelda.
I haven't been there yet.
No. No,
besides
I mean, like,
that, why would I want to go buy, look for games that quite likely I already own?
Well, I mean, like, but to Rama's question, have you bought something recently that you haven't had a chance to, like, that you bought it because you hadn't had a chance to play it yet or whatever?
I bought like games so I could legally emulate them. So I bought Wonder Project J, and I need to pick up Marvelous. I have not found an affordable Rudra no Hijo yet. But, I mean, yeah.
Well, in that case, you might want to remind me about that game in about 6 weeks.
Okay.
No, I'm going back to Japan for my birthday.
Yeah, there's something I'm looking for Dan over there. And that's huge-ass 1,000-pound Genesis controller.
There is another Super Potato near where I will be staying at, so I will be checking there for it. And if they have it, I will let you know.
I'm so happy you get to go back to Japan. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm hatefully jealous, but I am happy for you. It'll be fun.
Okay. I figured this was going to come up. So when I was at ZenkaiCon last weekend, I saw something for you and Alan that I bought that I'm going to put in a box and ship to you. I'm going to show it to you right now.
Ship it from Japan. It'll get here faster.
I wish. I actually had a friend of mine ship me a couple of Ranma 1/2 magazines because I didn't think I'd get them at Kinokuniya. I actually have a friend now looking for Ranma's outfit. And I'm just like, if you see it, get the largest size you can and hold on to it till you come back. But I know y'all went on the Trek cruise, and I'm going through Artist Alley, and I saw these amazing fried Trek pins.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Oh, those are cool too. So there's a guy that like 3D prints them on the cruise. That's a different design. So somebody else is doing that. Because I love that there's the trans next to the OG, but they don't have the black and brown, do they? That's a bummer.
No, they didn't have that.
I mean, it's not okay, but it's, you know, I'll take it. It's a nice design. It's a start. But yeah, they had, so I wish, I'm like pointing like, oh, it's on my shirt right now. And I haven't been on the cruise in a month. But so he did a rainbow pattern last year. And this year he did the progressive flag with the, you know, trans and the black brown in it. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. But I love that stuff. And, you know, I don't just wear them. I have a bag that we put pins on. Yes. Alan and I love pins. So yeah. Happy.
Do you have an Ita bag with all your pins on them?
Actually, I think my bag's in this room. Oh my God.
My poor Ita bag finally died.
My bag happens to be in this room. I say it's my bag, but it's actually Alan's bag.
Ita bag. Okay.
But it's, I'm knocking things over with this. That's our little Alolan Duck trio.
That is precious.
Let's see. Stressy, depressy, lemon zesty, you know, just a variety of weird shit that I come across. So that's where that Star Trek pin's going.
Awesome.
All right. Well, Rama, it's a pleasure as always to have you on the show. I appreciate you.
Anytime.
So are we going to hear 90s Con on Anime Jam Session this Tuesday?
You'll hear a little bit of it, and we'll be talking about other things as well. Oh, and one more thing I forgot to mention. When I bought this Squad Goals mug, the guy put in two pieces of grandma's candy in there for me.
Not the strawberry.
I said, I don't
candy.
Know where they come from, but they're absolutely delicious and I love it.
No, those strawberry things are bomb. You can find them. Okay. Do they have Winco out there?
No.
Look for a place that sells food by bulk like Winco does, because it's the strawberry shit is in bulk candy sections. You can find them. Good luck, and or I'm sorry. Take your choice. All right. Rama, you take care of yourself, my friend.
All of y'all take care of yourselves. As I say on my show, and the late, great Jerry Springer says, take care of yourselves and each other.
Rest in peace, Jerry Springer. All right, take care, Rama.
Hi, Rama.
All right. Always a pleasure to hear from the one and only Rama here on the show. Bobby.
For the record,
go ahead.
The controller, before I forget, is the XE1AP, and it weighs like a bag of bricks.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat spotted the Duck Dodgers pin on my bag, and yes, that is 100% because of Dragon Con reference. There's this cute little store. So you know I host these live horror shows and all this stuff, right? This cute little store that sells all this goth shit opened up right next, and she's so smart. She opens up that store on nights that the Love Horror Events is doing a production at the Colonial. And I think she runs an online shop to like keep her sales going through the rest of the year. And she has pins, pins. And so I was browsing. It's like that, like $3 for $25. And I was browsing the pins one night and I saw the Duck Dodgers and I was like, oh, I want to, that's Dragon Con. I want a Duck Dodgers pin. So yeah. What else came from that night? I think the one that says, oh, with the Marvin the Martian is from Duck Dodgers. That's that. I thought I had an actual Duck Dodgers pin too.
FYI, it's just Marvin Martian.
Whatever. I think the Mr. Rogers
well,
one
actually,
came from that
Rob.
Too. Hmm. Well, actually.
Well, actually.
Anyway. A Sailor Venus pin. Yes, you did. You did spot a Sailor Venus pin in the corner. You sure did. So, all right.
I have to tell you about the pins I just picked up, by the way, because you'll enjoy this. I now have a Dracula and an Alucard.
Oh, I love it.
They're big.
There's a Sailor Venus pin on there because it's Alan's bag. I just stole it because that's what happens when you're married. You steal each other's things.
True.
100%. Okay, on that note, Loki, any last minute stories before we wrap it up tonight?
There is nothing.
All right.
Everybody's waiting until,
that's right.
You know, switch to announcements.
Just clenched with bated breath. All right. Well, then I will say thank you as always for listening to Orange Lounge Radio and supporting our show. If you enjoyed what you heard here, help us spread the word and leave a review. A nice 5-star review on a space like Apple Podcasting, Spotify, or YouTube goes an awful long way. We appreciate all that. Tell a friend. Help us spread the word. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Final thoughts. We're going to start with Dark Sakura because I believe you are streaming tonight.
I am. So basically, I thought that my schedule was going to an hour earlier, which would have deeply infringed upon any time so that I could have, you know, after stream time. My schedule stayed the same, and I'm still working from home on Monday. So, hell yeah.
All right. Well, we will see you
in the Debbies, and I will have a Shay with me.
Sounds great. Have a good time. We'll see you in a little bit.
Bye.
Bye.
We'll go over, actually I want to do from chat. So SJ100 Matt says, so see folks Wednesday night with a laughing emoji. I think I saw Bobby in chat say he was free that night. So honestly, probably, I don't think I have anything scheduled for Wednesday night. I've been very good at walking lately though. I made a new friend here that also really likes to walk long distances. So like Bobby's got to be wondering how the fuck did Rob plant 28,000 flowers in the Pikmin challenge this week? Because this friend and I are encouraging each other to walk 5 miles every time we do it. And we have this giant loop that we go drive and walk a big 5 miles now that it's late enough at night that we've been doing. So we do that at least twice. And I try to get in a third one. Bobby says, I felt bad that I have big fat zero. Don't feel bad. I know there's other parts of the country have inclement weather. I had COVID a few weeks ago and didn't walk at all. No, this is... I'm happy to carry the group because it actually gives me more motivation to walk the 10,000 steps and 5 miles. So works for me. I don't care. But yeah, Wednesday night, nerding out over the Switch 2 announcements, probably going to happen. Maybe Loki will be here too. Who knows? You and Jamie have an invite, of course. All right, Loki, your final thoughts for tonight.
My final thought is just should be doing some streaming later this month. I don't know. Oh, and then on the flip side, I get jury duty at the end of the month.
Jury duty? Who did you piss off?
It's been a while.
That's no fun. All right. Well, good luck with all that. All right. Well, with that, we are going to wrap it up here at the Voice Geeks Network for the day and for our show. Thank you so much for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. We will see you in 7 days. And finally, finally, no more Switch 2 rumors for now. Switch to facts. We get to decompress them all next week. I hope you will be here with us. It's going to be an exciting week. Until next time, bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for our live show, tune in to VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.